Welcome to the 8th Net That Hall Compass show of the 21-22 season. I'm joined by my regular co-host and fellow Fantasy Football Hub writer, Hibbo. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. Decent enough game week, 75 points minus 4. So I think like a net 71, happy enough. I'm in a bit of a green arrow. I think I was up there about 72k or something like that. Not as good as you.
No, it's been a good week. I got 74 points, but I did drop from 5.1k to 6.1. on the auto subs that are going to be coming on for Calvert-Lewin. And I'm sure when we speak to our guest today, he'll have his say on Calvert-Lewin as well.
Definitely. So look, on this very special episode, we're joined by, he's a bit of a legend in the kind of fantasy Premier League FPL circles, four-time top 1K finisher. He's a man who courts up at a controversy. It's Nick Triggerlip. So welcome, Nick.
Hi there, guys. Morning peeps, as they say. Get my glasses on.
It's good timing. Nice to have you on the show with us, Nick. What time is it, just to timestamp it for the podcast listeners?
It's just gone 7:30 in the morning, but I've been up since 2 a.m., so I'm all ready now. Been for a run and out and about.
Ready to go.
Seen all the latest news.
Hopefully, I was going to say what happened to Mariner a few episodes ago won't happen to you, where he was laughing so loud that his wife came in to tell him to shut up in the middle of the street. I'll send you the clip after.
I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens. He's already grumpy at me doing this. So,
oh, nice one. All right. So just let's get a bit of housekeeping, I guess, out of the way first, Hibbo, before we go straight into the interview. So we just want to give the mini league a shout out one last time for any of the podcast listeners. The code is FG1XMB. And as we've said, we've got the prizes sorted now. So there's a first place football shirt. Second place, there's a copy of FPL Obsessed by Matt Whelan. And third place, there's a premium membership at Fantasy Football Fix. So I guess I'm just going to put up on my screen quickly, Nick, a little bit of your history, because I think your rank history is, it's kind of safe to say that you have a very good record. That is the look of a man who doesn't want to give away what his thinking is. But I'm going to put your record on the screen. And we have kind of four top 1K finishes, is it? And 35th is the one that really calls. There is a 434. There's 592, 776. So these are all quite high bars. And, you know, most people's measure of success is top 10K. So, you know, like, what happens? Like, what is it at that elite level that you can get a top 100 or a top 1,000? Like, what's your one of advice to do it? Because you've done it four times, right? So if anyone knows, it must be you.
Yeah, well, it's pretty incredible. It was like 5 years of just like top finishes in a row, wouldn't it? And I don't think anyone's ever done that before in terms of like a block of 5 years. I don't think anyone would do it again because it's so much harder now, but basically I was just playing
1700, by the way. So for anyone listening who can't see the screen on the podcast version, from, is it 2010 all the way through?
Yeah, about then, 2000 to 2015.
Yeah, 5 years, and the lowest rank is 1700 for the podcast listeners.
I was a bit gutted with that one. It was a bit of a bit of a bad year.
What an incredible kind of reference point to be able to talk to you about tonight. And I guess your rank since then is not obviously been bad. It's still pretty good. You have the top kind of 1% in there and less than that generally. But I guess compared to those years, and we'll come to this later on, it will be interesting to know like how you keep yourself motivated having hit those kind of numbers. Because it must be really difficult knowing, as you say, that no one could probably do that again over a five-year spell.
I was looking yesterday because I knew I was coming on here. So I went and found my old blog. It was like done live during that season where I finished about 500th, and it like recorded all my thoughts of an entire season. So I went back and looked at that to try and see what I did differently then to what I do differently now, you know, and why, what's changed. And to be honest, I didn't find anything has changed at all. I don't think I've changed at all in the way that I play. But things around me have changed, you know. It's I think there were four main things that have changed in the, since about 2015. And the first thing I think's changed is the sheer numbers of people. You know, it makes it harder, doesn't it? And the information explosion as well. You know, everybody plays it, knows how to play the game now. I mean, I remember back then, like, we used to hang around on Fantasy Scout all the time. And, like, it's probably quite a small subscriber base. I don't know how many subscribers they had, maybe 10, 20,000 or whatever. And the rest of the people playing FPL had next to nothing. You know, there was nothing on the official site or anything. So you just had a huge advantage. Huge advantage over everybody else. So that just by joining Scout, it kind of guaranteed you like a top 10K finish almost. You know, you could just almost walk into a top 10K just by looking at the stats and playing sensibly, you know. Whereas now, I'd say you do that and you're probably looking at 100K, aren't you? As kind of a baseline, you know, there, thereabouts. And, you know, what separate... I also had a look at the captains as well. I've had 3 or 4 years of below average captain scores in the last few seasons. So I think I've had a bit of bad luck recently. And the seasons I did well, I was kind of doing better with the captains, etc. But and that's the other thing that's...
So just on the captaincy as well, we'd love to hear later about your captaincy. If you know how many points you got last year, it'll be interesting to hear, because I did very badly, as you're saying, and I think that's a point in my game I'm looking to improve. So keen to talk to you more about that later tonight as well, how we improved.
And what else? The other thing that's changed, I think, is formation, because it used to be big strikers. I looked at all those seasons and that you had like Aguero and Costa, Rooney, players like that. And they suddenly disappeared, didn't they? All the strikers disappeared apart from Kane. And, you know, and you started getting expensive defenders, etc. And I think I probably failed to adapt a little bit because the game changed. But naturally, because I'd been getting so many top finishes, I kept playing the same way as I had been. You know, you would. You had that winning formula, so I kept using it. And it no longer kind of worked quite so well. But I'm thinking this season, I think it suits me. You know, it's a bit like horse racing. You know, some horses like good going, others like soft going, etc. And I think this season is kind of more traditional. You know, you've got the Ronaldo, Kane, Aubameyang, Lukaku, and there's a lot more choice up front, etc. And I think it's going to hopefully going to play into my hands. Although DCL is definitely screwed me over tonight, big time, I think. But you can't take luck out of the game. That's the problem, isn't it, too?
Definitely not. Just to pull you back, they say you're talking about the years where you had those, like, that amazing run of good finishes. Was there anything kind of common in your strategy amongst all those seasons? Like, you know, were you a fairly template player? Because, like, you're a player that was hitting kind of top 100s now. I was on Scout, say, around 2012. I started posting on Scout. I was fairly template. I only kind of got top 5K, just outside the top 5K. But you have ranks kind of similar to, say, Litraiser, where you were hitting the top 100. So would you kind of consider yourself template, but maybe a wee bit more cavalier sometimes? Or, like, how would you describe your playstyle?
It's difficult to know, you know, because I think you probably had the same information that I had and were probably on Scout just as much as I was and doing the same things I was. And yeah, my, like you say, my ranks are in the hundreds and yours are in the thousands. And it's very difficult.
That's awful kind of you, Nick.
It's very difficult.
That's great numbers. I wish it was.
But it's very difficult to know why, isn't it? It's really is, because all I did was go on Scout and watch Scout show, etc., and do what everybody else does. Yeah, I suddenly had like 5 years of those ranks. And I looked at the blog yesterday, and that season I only took 4 hits in the last of those top 1,000. I only took 4 hits that season.
I was going to ask you, did you manage to like remember how many hits you'd taken? Because when we spoke to Bakar as well, in the season he came fourth, he said he only took, I think, 5 hits, and he burnt a transfer that season, he recalls. And I've never burnt a transfer. But what about you?
But part of it is you get a good start, so you don't need to take hits. So that's the other thing. I think a couple of seasons I did take more hits than that, you know, like probably 10 or 11 hits. But I was never cavalier, you know. I'd never take hits to remove players that were playing.
That premium players.
Just to swap one for another. I did it last week, but Ronaldo was like a really unusual situation, wasn't he? But
Did you come into that journey with us then, your fellow captainer, or?
Yeah, well, yeah, Captain Ronaldo. So, but that was kind of unusual, wasn't it? Normally, I don't like taking hits for players that are, when I've already got people that are playing, because they can hurt you as much as help you often, can't they? So,
and we're not out of the woods yet, right? Like, we've got the captaincy out of him, but all the enablers that funded Ronaldo, all of them have blanked apart from Gray, who's playing now, I guess, as well. It must be end of the first half.
Don't tell me if he scores. That'd be the bloody end. I suppose he's playing at striker as well now, is he?
I think probably in the front two or something.
Well, he looks like he's playing a front three, I think.
Don't tell me. What's up with swearing?
What else we do here, Bo, sorry, is let's just say hi to some of the viewers as well before we carry on. We've actually gone through quite quickly today. We wanted to get straight to the chat, but just before it disappears, because the comments disappear, I'll just say hi to everyone quickly, Nick. And then obviously, I know if you guys have questions as well for Nick, once we get through the interview stage at the end, you'll have your chance to speak to him. And he tells me he has no hard stops. So let's see if there's questions worth asking. Otherwise, we will let him go eventually. So we've got, was it 89 Bastard? He says, evening all, first person. Pete Gray, nice to see you. We have Chris France, nice to see you. Ramanathan, friend of the show, another regular Blue Danube guy. Jaskaran, we've got actually Gabriel as well, one of the co-hosts from the Matchups show. We've got Mike Halpin, nice to see him here. Pete, who else? Anyone else? Anthony Chung, we've got FPL Dallas is here, Assemble the Haulers. Rob Badocki here. When he's not on Twitter Spaces, he's here on YouTube with us. Quack, quack. Anyone else? We have...
I was going to ask Robert Ducky, does he actually work? Because every time I look at him, he's on Spaces.
It's true. On that note, though, just hi to Ant A and BlueNix99. So that's everyone who's here so far. The numbers are, we've just gone over 20 viewers as well, I think. So that's a nice little moment. Let's hope we can get upwards of 50, guys. Do spread the word. Now that we're live, I can't really tweet. So go to the pinned tweet on the Net That Whore Twitter account if you can and get the word out and hit like while you're here on the video. But let's get you to the juicy stuff for the rest then. We'll ask Rubber Ducky later, Hibbo, about whether he works, because he was on a stream I joined any time of the day or night. But Nick, back to the questions Hibbo has for you.
So like talking about, say, your best season. So like we look at that season when you came 35th. Firstly, like how close did you come to winning it? Were you anywhere near close? And on that season, did you feel any pressure? And if you felt any pressure, how did you deal with the pressure, really? Because I kind of look sometimes at players that get up that high, and is it nearly that you become almost like in a money league? Like the top 50 becomes a money league in itself? I don't know.
Very much. Especially back then, it was kind of, once you get up there, there's actually gaps start appearing. Like, you're like 5 points maybe between you and the guy behind you, etc. And it actually becomes very hard to move. You know, you don't lose much either, because everyone tends, all those ones up there tend to pick the same players once you get up there. And it's like a little club, you know, you're like, so it's almost like a little mini league. But the thing is, although I was 35th, I never felt like I had a chance of winning it, because I think I was still like 80 or 90 points behind the person who won it. It's crazy, right? You know, it's ridiculous once you get up kind of at those levels. But I actually felt less pressure in that year than I did in the other years, because you're like fighting for a top 1,000 finish, and like the rank swings each week were bigger. You know, you might, one bad week and you could fall out the top 1,000 or whatever. But once you get in the 30s, it's crazy. I mean, I was doing pretty well, but then I can't remember his name now. I bought somebody in and he got a red card, and I got -3 from him, I think, and drove me crazy. You know, it kind of ruined any chance I had of winning. And then I kind of settled for a spot in the 30s after that. I didn't take any risks and try and win the thing. But like I said, when you're 80 or 90 points behind, it was like pretty unrealistic anyway. So
it's interesting you say that, because Bakar said something similar where he said, and I think actually it was Abdul as well, so it was FPL Salah. He said that he felt that when he was, say, top 1K, it wasn't worth like pushing the risk to like get top 500 or top 250, because you could end up out of the top 10K by trying to push. And he said, actually, first place from top 1K, that could be 100 to 200 points away.
The best thing to do is to just play steady and hope that it's the others that try and do that.
Make them panic,
and then they're going to make suboptimal picks or captain. captains, suboptimal captains to try and win it, and then they fall away. Basically, you just play ABC sort of fantasy and let the others make the mistakes. You know, you see it every week, don't you? It's like even this week.
You have a good start, though. You're right. Like, it's easy to overmanage, isn't it?
It's like even this week, you know, maybe I've got a slight red arrow now because of DCL not playing. It would have been green, I think. But apparently about 20% of people in the top 10K used a chip this week. You know, they either used a triple captain on Ronaldo or they wildcarded, etc. So you've got 20% of people burning a chip. So even if you get a slight red arrow, really it's not a red arrow at all, you know, because they're using chips and people flying ahead of you with a triple captains. And in the long run, they're all going to drop away. So there's no need to worry at this stage if you get in small red arrows, etc. You know, there's no need to worry about it. Because that's everything, of course. There weren't any chips.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What do you think is a good rank at the moment then? Because for me, if you're in the top like 500K, even top 1 million now, even top 2 million, you can probably easily get top 100K. If you're in top like 500K, you can still come top 10K. Like, it's all very small. Yeah. I think people are jumping to conclusions and not seeing all the chips being used around them.
Last year, I would have said you're right. But this year, I don't think you are, because
template's stronger than ever before, you
because reckon. Twitter's all got a good start, and they're the ones you need to worry about.
Whereas isn't it last year, content creators,
last
way,
year,
Twitter,
last year Twitter had a terrible start, didn't it? Yeah. And so we were all like at a million or whatever. But
yeah, it was.
People ahead of us were all casuals, but that's not the case this year, is it? I mean, if you're at a million, you've got like all the good players were already ahead of you. So
what about top 500K? Would that be easier to come back?
Probably, I think so. Okay. If you just play sensibly. I think Late Riser said today, you know, don't look at your rank and start trying to catch up too quick. You know, just play.
It's way too early to think about
just
that.
Just play sensibly and, there's so much variance.
I thought he was quite honest, because you can talk about kind of trying to force a transfer. And like whenever I saw him make the transfer for Kane, I would never like to be critical of somebody else's transfers, but I thought he did kind of try and force it a wee bit, and he admitted himself kind of today that he did try and force it.
Yeah, he did that last season as well. I said to him last season, because he just started doing his podcasts and everything and going all celebrity, and I says to him, look, I says, it's going to affect the way you play, you know, because it did with me as well, and you're going to start making moves to please the crowd, etc. And he did, you know, he went too hard to try and be chasing the upside or whatever he calls it, and like it, you know, not going with Salah and stuff. And I think that was the pressure of being like a celebrity sort of makes you play differently.
Today we need you to try and get your wild card active or take a hit live on air. I think that'll be your equivalent of making a decision like that.
I don't think I'd do it live, because I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. I might better get away with a -4. We'll have a see later. But I don't know if you're going to have my team up here or not today. But I haven't had a chance to look at it myself yet.
Just to touch on Late Riser, I kind of think because he does have as many followers as what he has, and he's on this kind of public sphere in the FPL Twitter, like people kind of publicly come out and say your moves were shit, man. And that must be really hard to fucking watch.
It's
because like
proper abuse online.
No, but like we're just men and just human beings, and you're looking at your phone and somebody's calling your transfer shit, and you know that they've cost you maybe fucking 20 points, and you're thinking, thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot for that.
Remember when the guy said my transfers were shit, and then I called him out on air and I was like, your transfers were shit. You sold Salah, captained Kane, fuck you. Both your players returned. I kept Tony. I didn't blank. Fuck you. Because he told me Livermento was a bad idea. And I was like, I was going to burn a transfer. And imagine, he doesn't even follow me and they comment on you, Nick. So if Late Riser has that many followers and people who don't even follow me comment on my tweets and I'm a small account, what is going on with Late Riser? He must have got so much messages spurring him on to do upside chasing, but then also messages of abuse once it goes wrong.
Yeah, they all encourage him to do it. And then when he does, they'll turn on his back. I mean, that used to happen to me because, you know, when I'd had those top five finishes, like everyone was bloody wanted to know what I was doing the whole time. And it's blooming hard. It's even this season, because I went without Fernandez in game week one and he got a hat trick. And all these people were on my back. I was getting all these personal messages telling me how shit I was, you know, because and I'd said I'd picked the game for the team for the first 3 weeks, you know, and they're all posting their scores of 120 or whatever after game week one and telling me I'm useless, etc. Now I'm ahead of them all. They've all gone quiet, you know. So, but it's annoying. It's really
how many weeks crazy. Ahead do you look then? Because for me, I always, when I buy someone, I say generally it's kind of at least 4 to 6 weeks is my outlook. And only defenders is longer than that. Like a 4.5 defender, I'll, and goalkeepers, I'll want to keep them for like 10 weeks plus. But every other position is like easy to move every 4 to 6 weeks, I think.
It's 6 weeks with me. I put the Fantasy Scout ticker up and add an extra week. So I think there's default, it's only 5 weeks. So I add another one, so it's 6 weeks. And then very rare that I pick anybody that's not in the top 7 or 8 teams.
It's interesting. What do you think about people who say that all of us subconsciously, I guess, when we do post, we use data that's going to like reinforce whatever we were predisposed to want to do? So whenever people come and tell me like, oh, you should do this move or that move, everyone's basically telling each other to make their teams the same as each other's. And I know you're probably a fan.
Yeah, I know.
You can't ask for an RMT because people say, well, your team's good, the 9 players we both have, and the other 2, you should make them mine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You guys gave my team a good rating pre-season. I remember I came on the show and put my team on the show when you were doing the rate my teams. Yeah. And I think Hibbo gave me 9 out of 10 for my team.
Wow.
Because I had Greenwood. I had Greenwood in it, and it worked out really well. And Greenwood turned out to be pretty good, didn't he? So
he matched Bruno until the last game.
It did work out. Yeah, he actually matched Bruno, despite the hat trick. So,
go on, Hibbo.
Tell us a wee bit about your process. Like, do you watch a lot of games? And say, same when the game week ends, like, do you jump on the like data tables and stats? And do you use, say, like a planner? Because like I never used to use a planner, and it's something like I'm doing now this season where I'm kind of putting my team on the spreadsheet and looking. Is that something you do? Or
I don't put it in a planner as such. I just check the fixtures that they've all got and make sure they're good. Check the defence. I look for weeks where my defenders have got a bad week and then kind of work out what I'm going to do from there. But I watch a few games because they're all on, and they're all on here. I can watch anyone I want. And so I watch like probably 3 or 4 on a Saturday and then the Sunday and Monday game. I tend to avoid the ones like, you know, sort of Burnley versus Norwich and that type of thing. I won't bother watching those type of games normally. But any that have got players in that I'm interested in bringing in, then I'll generally watch those games. Then I look on the scout website, you know, on the members area, and look at all the stats, etc., and then my own stats and various other things, and then I'll kind of work out what I'm doing. But I don't generally worry about what other people are doing, you know. I watch the shows and that, but I don't not influenced by them. I think I'm quite good at avoiding being influenced, but.
Would you watch that for entertainment, would you say, more than for advice, right? That's how I feel.
Yeah, definitely. I watch this one, and I watch Jason and Steve-O on Elite FPL. And then I'll watch Black Box and The Wire, probably. They're more of the ones that I look at to see, to get an idea of, you know, what the general sort of people are doing type. Because it has quite an influence, I think, on what people do, those ones, don't they? They're more ones that people use to copy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we have a comment from in the live chat for the podcast. It's from Pastor Gaines. He says they've had enough of the Twitter herd mentality. So it just felt like a good time to kind of put that up from the live chat. So if people say relevant things that direct the conversation, we will put up your questions as we go, if it's naturally part of what we're discussing. So what do you think about the herd mentality? Because I know that you're famously like not really up for everyone just having the same team. And would you say you've ever been guilty of like picking a player just because you wanted it to be different? Because I know I have, and I try to not pick in that way anymore. I try to avoid that. Like if they're the best pick and everyone else thinks it's the best pick, I'd rather see that as there's a reason everyone thinks it's the best pick because there's so much more data now. So I guess my question as like a higher level, more of a metaphysical one, is do you use any optimization tools or software, or is it just all human process on your end? Like, how are you analyzing this?
It's pretty much all human doing it. You know, I've got tables and stuff I look at. But the herd mentality, yeah, it's pretty shocking. But Even back when I was doing my website, etc., it was the same men. I mean, I saw a post in there yesterday, and 8 people had the same team as me at the end of September in 2015. So I put in a sly, I made a sly transfer that I told people I'd done one thing and did another just to shake them off my back, you know, and I got a bit of criticism for that at the time, you know, because a bit like FPL Family last season, you know, I copped it for doing that. But there were just so many people copying, and it's even worse now, isn't it? You've got so much there for people to, you know, it's crazy. But it's got narrower the template.
I think when you look at the like of, I think Fantasy Football Fix, they launched their like Elite 11 thing where like people can now see live updates of what these kind of Hall of Fame type managers are doing as they make their transfer maybe tonight. Like the people will know straight away through some
doing it in real time.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it? Like
it is ridiculous, isn't it? But people use it to try and win their mini leagues and that, I guess. But it's just I don't understand it really. It's crazy, isn't it? I would never do it, but I can't see where the enjoyment comes from it, because it's all supposed to be fun, isn't it? And there's no fun in just copying somebody else.
And also, we see it in Hoblix. So in Fantasy Football Hoblix, you have a certain group of managers that are like the team reveal raiders, and you get people replying in the comments under their articles. They say, well, why did you not update that article on Thursday when you made the transfer? Because I was planning on copying you, but Livramento rose in price and then I couldn't make the changes and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's funny, like, you know, it's...
It's a bit annoying, I think. I used to get it all the bloody time, and I'd end up doing my transfers 1 minute before the deadline to throw them all off, you know, so we have to pay more for the same player. So, yeah.
But like, say like in terms of content, so like who would be like your most kind of trusted content sources? Because like I know at the minute on Twitter, there's kind of content overload on Twitter. And I kind of think at the same time, we see a lot of these people with big Twitter accounts, but we don't actually know if they have a good record. So like, how do you kind of shut out that noise, and who do you trust would really be the question?
Oh, I don't really trust anybody. I just kind of, I'll see things that are interesting and then I'll go and check it out for myself. You know, I don't just go by what somebody else says. You know, like you said, I mean, a lot of them haven't got a very good record themselves, yet they're like doing all these things, giving advice to people. You know, I quite like to see it really, you know, because I think, well, that's leading them down the wrong path, and quite happy to let them get on with it, you know. But and then again, I mean, rank isn't everything, is it? So some people have good at better explaining things and playing the game, you know, because it's like even people in my work mini league, some of them are just as good as I am at picking the right players, but where they fall down is in the timing of the transfers and that type of thing, you know. So you can have people that are very good at reading the game that don't have a very good rank, you know. They might be impulsive or too conservative or whatever, and they never have a great rank, but they're actually very good at knowing what the good players are, you know. So you can't just dismiss people because they haven't got a great record, but you know, so it varies, doesn't it? But I don't accept anything at face value. I always go and check it.
You do your own dirty work?
Yeah I mean, often I get good ideas off Twitter, or sometimes everyone would be on a player and I think, well, you know, I don't really like that player, and I'll avoid it, you know. But you have to think you have to think very carefully now before you dismiss a Twitter player, because they're normally pretty spot on, isn't it? Everything's analysed so much that Twitter generally gets it right. So you need a good reason not to go with something, you know.
I think you do. Like, we talk about this, and like when you look at, say, even pre-season, if you look at kind of the template at the start of the season, it was really strong, but it also hit the ground running, and your team was slightly different to mine, but I think we would look at each other's teams and think, oh, you're playing a 3-5-2, so your team's very different because we maybe had two players different. But really, the Twitter template is just kind of slight variations on each other, like, if you know what I mean.
The funny thing is, late riser, talking about late riser again, but me and him have got like this real strong rivalry going back for like 10 years or more, probably. And so I'm always looking at what he's up to. And he started the season and his team looked really different from mine, like you say, although there's only probably two or three differences. But this week, we've actually got identical teams. They didn't start off identical because I didn't have Fernandez and I had Greenwood and Son. But like since then, he's got rid of Fernandez. I've brought in Rafinha, who he had. And it's kind of, they've ended up exactly the same, apart from the third sub. You know, so he's got exactly the same score as me this week. He's got exactly the same injuries as me, which is about bloody six. And I'm very interested to see what he's going to do this week, you know, because I'm very pissed off about this week. Really, yeah. I'll tell you what, I think I've played really well this season, right? I've played a bloody blinder. I've planned everything perfectly. 3 days ago, I had no trouble with my team. Now I've got Antonio stuff, like everybody else, you know, that's fair enough. Webster, injured. Everyone else got like 6 or 7 points from a Brighton defender. I've got 1 point and a long-term injury. DCL out as well. You know, lots have got him, but have they also got those others? Gibson didn't play, the Norwich midfielder. Simicast is stuffed. And my team's gone from having no problems to suddenly having like 5 or 6 disasters in it. So crazy. That's just what FPL's like. You know, it can, you can be going along perfectly one day, and then the next day, crazy. That's why I didn't want to use my wild card, because you never know when something like that can happen. It can change so quickly. And I think I'm going to have to use it now. I think it's got, so I'm quite interested this week to see what Late Riser does, because he's in exactly the same boat as me, because you've got the same team. So it is. It's going to be interesting. I think he's going to wild card, surely.
I'll be keeping Ben Mee has scored, by the way, if you look on the screen.
Ben, who did you score?
Ben Mee.
Oh, good. Well, it's not good, actually, because I've got Dinia in fan team. But
yeah, I've got him in other formats. But
it's funny because I've got all these fan teams, right, which I should theoretically care about much more than FPL, because there's like hundreds of thousands to win. Yeah, I get really wound up when I get an injury in FPL, but when I get one in fan team, it's like, oh, who cares? You know, it just doesn't It just doesn't grab me in the same way, though. Like FPL shouldn't grab me that much, because you only win like a blooming postage stamp or something, you know. And it's like, crazy, isn't it?
You get a zip bag,
but it does. Like it gets into your head, because it's probably because of that record I've got. I just want another top 1,000 finish, but really I should be thinking more about fan team, but I don't for some reason.
Top 100 finish in the season long in fan team is life-changing, as you say.
Well, top one would be, wouldn't it? I don't know about top 100.
top
100 might buy you a holiday. That would be about it, probably, wouldn't it?
But I'm talking about having multiple teams there. So like if you stack like 4 or 5 entries all with the same team and then try and ride them into the top.
That would be good. What would happen if all 100 of your teams finish first? I suppose you'd just clean up, wouldn't you?
You would split the 200k between.
But no one else would. Wouldn't there be no positions for money? So second to 199, no one would get paid out, I think.
Yeah, you get the whole lot.
Because the next rank would be third.
You just speak for whole pool.
Good point.
I reckon like the next rank would be like 201.
Aye.
So then so it would be like first, and then 201 is the next person. Yeah. Oh wow, that's a good one. Guys, I tried to share my screen, it crashed again. I've got less windows open. I'm gonna try one more time for the new viewers just to put your rank up. If it crashes again, I will be back, but I'm trying to do it in a way that's less likely to cause issues. Okay, it seems to be surviving for now.
I'll tell you something else that happened in 2015-16 after my good run. Do you know what happened then? I joined Twitter.
Sounds about right.
Before Twitter, I had this private Facebook group. I started this private Facebook group. And I think I got about 100 people in there. And some of them were quite new to the game, etc. I was like helping each other. And now I think like Backer was in there, Zoha was in there,
right.
Guys from Who Got Your Sister in there. Were you in there? Lots of people in there. And even World Number One, Fabio, he was in there. He joined. Right. He'd only just started playing, and now he's like the world number one. So many good managers in there. It's unbelievable, you know that. And we had like this private group going, and none of us, I think, were on Twitter really. And it was so good. The quality that's come out of that group is just insane. And still going now, but now everyone's distracted with Twitter and stuff like that. But like you say, the information overload on Twitter, I don't know if it's actually good for people's games or not, to be honest. Like, does it dumb everything down? Do you know what I mean? I mean, consensus picks aren't always the best picks. Because, like, we used to run it on that website, we used to run a community league. And we'd all, like, vote for who we wanted to transfer in, etc. And individually, we're all, like, top managers. But the community team always used to do rubbish. And it was because it was like a consensus pick. You know, they're all good picks, but something about a group like mentality picks is not as good as individual. And I don't know why, but I'm wondering if Twitter actually has that effect on everybody.
Yeah. Tyranny of the masses.
Does it dumb everything down?
We need a benevolent dictator, Nick, to lead us to glory, come number one in FPL.
You know, you get all the content creators, and they all head in the same direction every week, don't they? It's like they've had a meeting at the start of a week, and they said, "Right, who are we going to plug this week?" You know, and then they start off on the Tuesday, and they'll do a pod where they pretend they're going to do some differentials, and then they'll do another pod later in the week where they've all gone back to that. The extreme template, you know.
I think I saw that commenting on someone, I don't know who it was, they were saying, what if I just get, I think it was Ben Krellin, he was like, what if I just get like Semedo and like this other player, and I just won't go Ronaldo, I'll get this defender.
I saw that.
And then right at deadline, once his team came out, he was like, okay, I've gone Ronaldo, I've captained him. And I think it was Nick who commented on Ben's post and was like, no, come on, man, like this is going to be Ronaldo captain come deadline or something. Was that you or was that someone else saying
it? Might have been me, but everybody did that last week, didn't they? They're all brave at the start of a fortnight, and then by the end of it, they're all jumping on Ronaldo. But
it does seem like it.
But just people did seem to do all right without him, though, didn't they?
Because I was going to say, the Lukaku owners still did well.
Yeah, they did well. And even people who captained Salah and still had Fernandes, I mean, they didn't do that badly, really. They still did okay, I think.
In the grand scheme of things, stuff like, you know, what just happened with Calvert-Lewin not playing and Livramento coming off benches, Duffy coming off benches, that did more damage to them.
That's probably annoying. I get 1 point coming off for bloody ailing and everyone's going to get Livramento, aren't they? That's what's going to happen.
I've seen my rank dropped already just from an
I was thinking I'd get a red arrow. You know, all I needed was like an assist or something from DCL or a goal. It would have been a nice green arrow. Instead, they're all getting fluky bench points. And that's the trouble with this game. There's too much luck involved.
There is. That's
what makes it interesting, though, isn't it? And it's how you react to
luck as well. Because I think that it's like poker where you're playing against each other. So you're actually playing the other FPL managers. So if you do go differently from the pack and it works, you're in a good position.
It's one each. Make a keen goal.
1-1. Nick Pope clean sheet wiped. I don't know who.
I think it's more like backgammon where you've got like the best moves, but you've also got the dice rolls every day, and you have to kind of try and make a move that where a bad dice roll doesn't hurt you too much. You know, if you make the right move, you can say, well, if I roll a 3 and a 1, I'm screwed. So you kind of try and insulate yourself from what happens when things go bad, you know. And that's kind of what I do on quite often. You know, I think it was game week 3 where I captained Antonio over Son, because my thinking was that if I captain Son and he does badly, I'd be screwed. Whereas if I captain Antonio and he does badly, I won't be screwed because everyone else is captaining him anyway, sort of thing.
So it's a sword kind of, and shield kind of mentality.
Yeah, sword and shield. You kind of use that to, you think, well, what's my biggest downside? And you try and work out how to minimize what happens if things do go wrong. you know, and I'm going to have to do that this week with my team. You know, I've had some bad luck, and it's how you react to it that's important, isn't it? I mean, some people have taken minus 16, make their team worse, go on tilt, and all the wheels are falling
from me. Yeah, exactly. I saw someone take a minus 4 to bring in Traore last week, and then he messages me yesterday, and he's like, "I'm on tilt. I'm thinking take another minus 4 and sell Traore for Gallagher. Then I'm going to sell Antonio for a hit and get Lukaku on top of Ronaldo." And he's just starting to panic. And I'm like, "You just took a hit to bring in Traore. How are you going to take a minus 8 to buy and sell Traore to get Gallagher against Liverpool? Like, and you're not going to captain Lukaku in the next two." It's just people are panicking.
And there were like people who took minus 4 last night because they wanted to get a rise on a defender or whatever. Yeah. And now they might have DCL in their side and they've already taken a minus 4, you know. It's just crazy.
But here's my thing on that. We've got Champions League and Europa League coming this week. So see anybody taking like a minus 4 on a player already? What's wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong? Like the way they play FPL, that's not the way they play FPL. It's like, don't be taking a hat before the final game's been played in the week and before the European action started in midweek. Like, you know, leave your transfer day like Thursday night if you need to make it Thursday night.
But what pisses me off is when they get away with it and then their third sub comes on with 20 points or whatever and then they go, "Oh, it was skill because I picked this third sub," you know, knowing
that's
he might
the
have
luck
to
comes
come
in
on,
again,
et cetera.
Right? Remember, some people get 21.
But Livramento, and the only reason they get these players is because they only cost 4 million. It wasn't because they thought they'd be any good. But as soon as they get them come on, you know, it was all skill. So drives you nuts.
On that we've got some stuff that I don't know if you knew was coming, but we have an extract from your Which Transfer blog on WordPress.
I was looking at this yesterday. This was from, because you sent me some questions asking what my thought processes were on my good years. And I went back to that actual season and actually found what I'd wrote at the end of that season. And I think I finished 500. And this is what I wrote, you know, like straight after that. So this is kind of what I was doing.
You
and
just
it's
said
exact-
that now as well, right? Like pick captain from top.
Exactly.
Of the
Exactly. That's what I mean.
With known assets, keep it to a minimum. Like,
I wasn't doing anything differently then than I do now. It's just, you know, that's what I really, the thing I took away from yesterday was that I'm not doing anything differently. You know, the game might have changed, but I haven't, you know, whether
a
I haven't adapted
or not. That's a really interesting point at the end, because you did
it
say
is
to
important.
Me that it is actually the only way you can get like a top 1K, I think. Like top 10K, you might salvage, top 100K.
Because
realistic, but top 1K, you have to have a good start.
Because when you get a good start, what happens is everybody else moves towards your team.
So even if those players
and they might be taking hits to do it. Yeah, you know, if you get a good start and others don't, then everyone's buying the players you've got because they got, you know, because they're players that have had a good start. So all your player prices are going up. People are moving to your team. Others are using a wild card to get the team you've already got, etc. So it does, it gives you an advantage, you know, and then a good start, it's crucial. And the last few seasons, I've had bad starts, you know. I think this is the first decent start I've had since about 2015, 2016. So hopefully
good,
we can go on with
nice
it.
You can go back to winning ways, and it may be another
start.
Year or two premium attackers as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking so. But this DCL business is derailed me a bit, but we shall see.
Way,
I didn't want to have to use my wild card yet.
2-1 to Townsend scored again this time.
He has a goal and assist.
I picked him actually before the season as my like differential to watch was Townsend. You know, everyone's jumped on Gray, but he did miss a game. I think, but it was one game he didn't start, so it kind of put me off him.
Well
but
done to
it's the other thing,
Barbara, by the way, who has Townsend.
A lot of people go for the person that scored in the previous week all the time, don't they? Like, nobody this week looked at Townsend, did they? Everyone automatically went for Gray. Everyone went for Gray.
Because Doucouré assisted him, it looks like. And in our preseason episode in July, we were saying Doucouré could be a steal based on some advice we got from, I think it was Prem Tipster, FPL Prem Tipster, and FPL Tornado. They were like our Everton correspondents, and they said Doucouré could do well in this system. He might play further forward like his Watford days. So it is interesting because in Sky, I almost bought Doucouré instead of Gray, but because of sheer ownership, I panicked and got Gray as a shield. Just on
how much does he?
Like 5.
How much does he cost? 5.5. So let's go and have a look.
he could be nice throughout this season. He's getting his goals and assists. Oh, 3-1. Hold up.
Don't know this is getting fucking third. Annoying. I
think it's the Corey.
Again.
Or no, Gray scored.
So I've got him in Sky. Fuck okay. Off. Oh, no, that's going to damage my FPL rank, though. You're right. Whatever happens, it's so sad when our FPL is more important than fan team. That's devastating.
Next on top.
BetLiveFPL.net is going to crash. Let's have a look. Oh, wow. The average and the safety score have gone way up.
Having DCL out and then having that prick Gray score, it's just like... ruin my fucking day, though. You know, you get
it's ruined my day too, to be fair.
All 10 midfielders blank, don't they? And you just know that fucking Gray's going to come along and fuck up your game week
on a Monday night. Like
except all the pricks on Twitter who've all got him. That's only people who are everyone 99% of people posting on Twitter tonight will have him.
All the rest
will have turned off.
Or game week 4, is it? Yeah, all the game week 4 wild carders have him.
All the ones that just got Gray because everyone else was, and like he got a goal the week before, you know, the depth of their analysis, and it's rough. And then he got him because it's the only one they could afford to get because they were getting Ronaldo, you know.
Do you know who the next one is, though? Gallagher. So I always say, if you look at the transfers and you transfer a player out, and you just look at the top 6, like most points in any position, if there's like a cheap player that's like half the price of every other player, anyone who transfers out an injured player or a red carded player just buys the cheapest guy on the scroll down. Like every casual, millions of them, as you say. Oh, God. But on that note, there was a comment earlier, I think it was about late riser's move, actually. I'm trying to find a few. So apparently he's posted it on Twitter and he has already done... Calvert-Lewin to Bamford by the sounds of it. Yeah, it sounds like the move is done.
He'll wild card, Steve. He's still wild card once you made your transfer, can't he? He's raged him out, yeah. And he's done a rage transfer, hasn't he?
And then it will come to wild card. Let's see if he wild card.
He didn't need to do it tonight, did he? There's no reason why, unless Bamford's rising tonight. Let's go and have a look and see if Bamford's rising tonight. Have a look.
He can't be, surely. Like
price change predictor, here we go.
Surely not, like.
Doesn't look like it. No, he's nowhere near a rise. And DCL's not dropping, so why make a transfer tonight?
But everyone does, don't they?
He's wildcarding, isn't he?
You know what we need, Nick? We need to find a clip, yeah. I'm going to show you a clip right now of when I embarrass myself. I think you might have seen it already, so I won't play it again. But we're going to get a clip of you when you said that Gray has ruined DCL and Gray have ruined your Monday night. We're going to clip that little 30-second snippet because it's an epic rant.
It's us Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning,
yeah.
It's going to look embarrassing, this.
At least you're not drunk, right? At least we can see you're sober as the morning. I will be
soon.
You've done a run. You deserve it. It's 12 o'clock somewhere.
I haven't had a bad game week still, really. I mean, what's Gray's ownership?
It won't damage us much, to be realistic. No. It's a 12% EO. That's before the reload. It said 0.24 damage. It's way more than that. But it won't be too much. That's the main thing. It's 12%
EO. Still not a terrible game week. I mean, it's going to be a red arrow, but it's not huge. It's still annoying though when you start the evening off looking forward to seeing DCL, and then the manager's a prick, isn't he? All that stuff about his bloody quad injury. That was 2 weeks ago, and he's going, "Oh, he's just got a quad injury."
Is that how has he not mentioned this before? It's actually ridiculous. Even Ben Dinery last week thought he might start.
I'll tell you what they do in the Australian Rugby League, right? They've got a different system over there. Like the managers have to actually give a team out on the Tuesday or Wednesday night. And any changes that they're going to make, they have to inform the Rugby League people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just the press, the actual Rugby League people. And because it affects the bookmakers, etc., you know, you'd like to know who's playing and that. And it makes it so much easier playing that game because you know who's going to play. You know, it's FPL. What's the point of having press conferences so if they're just going to lie?
They lie so much, right?
Exactly. It's getting ridiculous. It never used to be as bad as this. Now they just don't even pretend they're telling the truth.
Do you remember last year when the robot picked up that Grealish had sold like Watkins or someone who was injured, and Dean Smith was like, "No, like I live in a real world, not in a fantasy world." He tried to ban his players from FPL. Like,
that's
it was
right.
Crazy times, right? On that note, Hibbo, should we ask a little bit about the chips and then just a little bit about the followings and stuff?
Where's this clip? Do you want to see the clip?
Okay, I wanted to avoid being embarrassed, but I thought you might have already seen it, so I was trying to hide it.
No.
Okay, this is the, I think, I don't know if Tom is here, but it's a good time to play it, actually. So on that note, you know Fabio Borges we were talking about? On the live rank, actually, he's dropped from first, and Tom Stevenson Badgers has overtaken him on the current Scout Live Hall of Fame.
This is the thing of that Hall of Fame, right? You can get to the top, but you're never going to stay there for very long because you've got like millions of people chasing it. And like there is luck in the game. You know, you can have like a run like I had or even a bit worse, and you can get up there. But staying there, I think, you just got to enjoy it because there's no way you're going to stay there at all. I think I should have been top actually in that Hall of Fame.
That's what I'm going to ask.
I think I was robbed.
How high did you go?
Well, I was number two for two seasons, but the only reason I wasn't number one is because they changed the way they do it to reward consistency a bit more. They changed the formula. And that season in 2007-08, when I didn't even start playing until about game week four or something, ended up costing me a top spot in the Hall of Fame. I mean, those first couple of seasons, totally irrelevant in my view. I wasn't even playing the bloody game properly. And then I got the best five-year run in the history of the game, and I wasn't number one on the Hall of Fame. And the guy who wrote the Hall of Fame, he told me that in the copy that he submitted to Scout, I was actually number one. And then they went and changed it a few times, suddenly I'm number two, you know. So I think that Hall of Fame, it's not the be all and end all, because it rewards consistency more than real high finishes. You know, you could create a team now, right? And for the next five seasons, if you finished exactly 5,000th for the next five seasons, you'd probably find yourself at the top of the Hall of Fame, even though you'd never even had a top 1,000 finish, you know, because it rewards consistency. You see people up there, and some of them have only got like one 1,000 finish or whatever, but what they haven't got is a really bad season, you know, so it just encourages people to play bloody template the whole time.
So the template
that was the next point I was going to make. Loads of people start a new account, they kind of wipe their kind of shit history.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they start playing again. So they just add a new email address to the game, wipe all the old history, and then say, I'm going to get myself on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, it's crazy, isn't it? Because a season from like 5 or 6 years ago where you've just learnt the game or whatever is pretty bloody irrelevant, really, isn't it? To the way, yeah, it still counts on the Hall of Fame. So
that is crazy.
But yeah.
I'll play the clip though. In the meantime, guys, I'm just going to play the quick embarrassing clip because I did promise you, Nick, and I think I've got out of it for long enough. So I'll play the Tom clip. So while he's Hall of Fame number one in the world, I'll show you what happened. He was our first guest ever on Net That Hall, and there was a bit of a kind of tumbleweed moment, they call it, Nick. Definitely our most popular member of the Net That Hall crew, and you can definitely be our fifth crewmate now going forward. Definitely be our fifth crewmate now going forward. Hello, darkness, my old friend. So just while we're here as well, guys, so please do continue. So please do continue to hit like and subscribe if you're new. But yeah, that's a highly embarrassing moment. But don't worry, I think your clip will be okay. And we're going to get one of Hibbo. There were some comments earlier about that the first half of the Everton-Burnley game was as boring as your background, Hibbo.
What's that?
How long's that game got to go? Is that game nearly finished now?
It must be, yeah.
I couldn't stand another fucking goal from him.
No, 76th minute, still 3-1.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He'll wait till the 93rd minute and then he'll go and fucking score, won't he?
He will.
Like Lukaku the other day. Always winds me up. You can sort of see it coming, can't you? And you get that all the time. I almost stopped watching that Chelsea game because I knew he was going to get another goal at the end.
I think he had two shots and he scored both.
Lukaku. I think so.
I was quite lucky yesterday because a lot of people have got Jota, and I was a bit worried about Jota yesterday. And then as soon as Leeds got that player sent off, I thought, oh, fuck, here we go. We're going to get loads of points. But he should have. He probably should have got loads of points.
Three assists, Mane tax.
That's another reason I should wildcard, because I've got that prick Tsimikas sitting there blocking me from Jota. And
out of interest, I'm wondering, you know, on FPL Twitter, obviously we've talked about some of the big names like Late Riser, and obviously there's the likes of kind of Andy, Let's Talk FPL, another content maker, and FPL General. So you kind of ever curse your luck that, I guess, your biggest ranks, those 5 years, the incredible years of 2010 to 2015, they were almost before the Twitter boom. And nowadays, you kind of see the likes of, say, Late Riser and Bakar, and they're like kind of celebrity accounts. Whereas the record you have, to me, it seems like you should be Hall of Fame number one, too. So, you know, like, does that bother you, I guess, that you almost like were just a couple of years before the boom? Like, you could be a celebrity and you could have hate mail and love mail coming your way.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I did that blog for a year, and then I started my own website, and I did that for about a year. And then I started getting pretty sick of it, to be honest. It's like, I raised a lot of money for, I did actually, I put a private area in there to raise money for charity, and we raised like hell of a lot. I raised about £5,000-£10,000, wow. I think, for a couple of charities. But I think one of my wild cards, I made it private and set up this members area. And it's incredible the amount of people that came in. But it made me feel uncomfortable, and I thought I wouldn't like to charge people. Do you know what I mean? It was like put the pressure on me, and I just didn't enjoy it. And after about a year of doing the website, I started getting sick of it. You know, it's all right when I was having a good week, but when I had a bad week, it was hard. And I think writing was a lot harder, you know, because mine was basically writing, and it was hard work. I think a YouTube channel like Andy's got would be much better.
200k, you know, subs, right? It's insane.
He's got a new channel now, a health channel. I was watching that the other day. It's pretty good. You know, he's going on about how he used to be 30 stone and giving all his tips out, etc. It's nice. Really good, you know. So he's done really well, hasn't he? So
I asked him if he was coming to the FCAs, but I think he's going to be in Ireland the weekend before when the international games are, England, Andorra, I think. And he's probably going to have headed back by then. So it's a shame, but the FCA voting actually ended yesterday, Nick. So we have an even shorter show today because there was no plugging of any voting. But I just want to say thanks to everyone who did vote. So we do appreciate that. Hibba, I know you want to ask a little bit about the content. So I know, Nick, you mentioned your website.
Just to touch on that, like, so obviously you had the blog. You published an ebook back in 2016. Believe it or not, I actually bought your ebook.
A lot of people bought that ebook. I tell you, I made blooming thousands out of that book. It was incredible. I couldn't believe how many people bought it.
It was the first book in FPL, from what I understand.
It was a pretty basic sort of a thing, wasn't it? But back then, I suppose it was seemed to help people.
But like, my question really on that is, like, do you enjoy writing? And say at the time when you were writing the book, did you have any kind of aspirations to say, like, write for like a big publication like Scout, or were you kind of happy just doing it for yourself and being like kind of totally
independent? I had plenty of offers, but I turned them all down. And like I said, it was only really for fun for me. I mean, I only started the whole thing was to record my own thoughts and to help my own thought processes, you know, but it became hugely popular. You know, from that rank, you can understand why everyone was like following on everything. And, you know, those sort of but 2017, I had enough of it, you know, and I sort of wound it all up before Twitter and everything came along. But I had other things going on. You know, I was making a shed load of cash on Betfair. And
I saw today you were talking about, someone in the Twitter questions when they come later, they mentioned the famous, I think, gambler and their kind of concept of value. And you seem to know that player. And I saw you pulled out an old book and it looked like horse betting as well. I don't know. But I'd love to hear a little bit about your betting background when we get to that. So I don't know if this is the perfect time to talk about that, unless you have any final thoughts before we ask about your life outside of FPL. Do you have any thoughts on these four top 1Ks that you would share? Like, was there anything else that you think, I guess, you did differently now that you've delved deeper again?
No, it's exactly the same. You know, and like I said, it was only what was in the book, really, and what that screenshot you put up before, you know, it's just like ABC FPL, really. I mean, I don't know what makes it's like chess. You know, I play a lot of chess, and it's hard to know what makes one person better than another, isn't it? You just don't know, really. But maybe I should have changed, but I've just kept doing the same things I was doing then. They just don't haven't worked so well in the last few years, whether it's luck or whether it's, you know. But I think this season it's kind of similar kind of environment to the years that I did well, you know, with the big strikers,
The big strikers is a real difference, isn't it? Like, you know, when you're looking at, say, De Bruyne as... You know, he doesn't nearly rank on the premium conversation compared to like Ronaldo and kind of Lukaku and stuff like that. So it is nearly like a bit of a kind of throwback season, I think, in a way.
Yeah, and it makes money in that more important again, doesn't it? It was the last few seasons I've like built up a big lot of money and everything, and there's been nobody to spend it on.
Last year, people who had 107 million team value, they had 2 million in the bank. I could get the same.
Yeah, exactly. Some weeks I had like 5 million in the bank. It was crazy
numbers. There was so much value. There was Gundogan, Suchek. Players were performing at all levels. I guess it'll be interesting to see whether anyone goes for free premium strikers at some point this season. Mm. Everyone talks about Salah, Lukaku and Ronaldo. I wonder if we'll see a kind of Kane, Lukaku and Ronaldo at some point. I do wonder.
There'll be times when you want Kane, I think, at various stages, won't it?
Maybe not when he just had his first game with no shots or touches in the box for the first
that
time.
That was shocking. Did you see the XG for Tottenham yesterday?
In the first half, it was zero.
For the team, was about 0.05 or something.
No, but look, see Kane. See the way Kane started the season? That is Kane. Kane starts slow whenever he hasn't really had a pre-season. And that's why I was kind of a bit surprised by the Litraiser move, because I thought any Spurs fan I know would basically tell you he starts slow. It takes time to get up to speed of fucking match practice. Stay away from him for a while.
It took him years to score a goal in August.
Do you remember? Last year was an exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And sure, he hardly kicked the ball because he thought he wanted the same for Man City. Like, he didn't want to stay at Spurs, for God's sake.
But without Stan, I mean,
it's even hopeless. Worse, yeah.
They're a one-trick team, aren't they, really? If you need Sun to be firing for Kane to get anything, and vice versa, probably.
Going to be away. It's tough times. But I guess just to go on that stuff about outside of FPL, so I know you're keen in chess, as you say, and you do some distance running. You were mentioning marathons to us earlier. You obviously did a casual 5K at 5:30 this morning before the stream. So it'll be interesting for the listeners, I think, to hear a little bit about outside of FPL, about your interests.
Yeah, well, what were we talking about just now? Betfair was the one that I was doing quite a lot. I was heavily into that from about 2000 to about 2015, I suppose.
Right.
Trading prices on cricket and rugby and stuff on the betting exchange. And I was doing really well on that. I made quite a lot of cash. I can't do it. I made too much money, but they put the maximum premium charge on me and I can't do it anymore. So.
I was going to say, it's interesting, isn't it? The betting sites ban you. Like, my friend got banned on Sky when you earn money. Like, if you win, then you're good. They literally delete you.
Well, the high street shops are terrible. I mean, they ban you really quick, you know, like Ladbrokes and all those ones. And you can't really win for very long on those. But the betting exchange is different because you're betting against other people.
Right? Yes.
But I had a huge advantage because back then there was hardly anybody in New Zealand doing it, you know, in the early years. It was like having a money tree in the back garden. You'd because of the delay, people be watching a test match in New Zealand and all the people trading on it would be in the UK and I'd be there live.
Now watching,
and I'd hit the button. I'd sit there with my finger on the button, waiting for a wicket. As soon as there's a wicket, I'd like put like thousands down there, and they wouldn't take the money away in time because they didn't see the wicket until about 7 or 8 seconds after I'd taken their money. And it's like, where's my money gone? You know,
and because normally
the TV and there'd be a wicket.
Normally they suspend the market when there's like a big action like that, like a wicket.
They kept increasing when it started there was no countdown. And then they put it up to 3 seconds and I think it went to 5 seconds, didn't it? But you could still beat it in New Zealand. If people were slow to take their money away, you could still get them even with a 5 second delay. So it's crazy. But then gradually other people started doing it, etc., and the edge kind of slowly vanished. But once you've made 250K, then you get slapped with a 40% premium charge. So they take 40% of your profits away. So yeah, I was quite happy with 20%. Once it got to 40%, I thought it's just not worth it. Plus, it was getting like harder. I mean, I could sit here today and spend 8 hours like really concentrating and probably make 100 quid or whatever, but I just can't be bloody arsed.
It's pointless. A lot of work.
The cricket was shocking. All my mates would be going out playing golf or whatever, and I'd have to spend the entire day sitting there like this with my mouse waiting for a wicket.
When you're inside and you're in a beautiful country.
And some days there wouldn't even be a bloody wicket, or you'd press the button and then the umpire would overrule it and you wouldn't make money. And bloody hard work, you know. But I was doing that for years. And like FPL, I went on FPL to kind of take my mind away from that sort of thing. You know, I wasn't interested in making money out of FPL. You know, the only money I made was money I gave to charity, etc.
Yeah, but, the 5 for 10,000, which is crazy because we've donated and been part of donating about just $200, and we've obviously not even gone a full season yet. We started like midway through last season, so hopefully we can give more away. We call ourselves like the FPL Robin Hoods. I don't know if you know, Nick. We kind of say something we're trying to do is people can donate to charity, send us a screenshot,
yeah,
and we'll do like a 15-20 minute like Zoom call with them to give them advice about their team, like an RMT, and any one of the four of the co-hosts who's available will do that, because we're not looking to kind of monetize. Like, we're not in it for ourselves. We're here because we're passionate about it.
It makes a great hobby, doesn't it? Like, and it's good fun doing streams and like just being like, even the ego thing, you know, of like being on the show, etc. It's all kind of good stuff. But I think if you try and do it full time, it becomes more like a job, and then the enjoyment goes and pressure grows, and then you have like
seasons hurt as well.
Then you have 3 or 4 bad weeks and it bloody hurts you. And like, yeah, I mean, how long can people go for calling themselves like celebrities when they're not even getting in the top 100k? I mean, how long can people get away with that type of thing?
Well, you could actually work for the Fantasy Premier League side, because they call everybody a fucking expert.
Yeah, you're an expert. You know one of the experts they had, he's like had like 4 top million finishes, like, yeah, like, yeah, all kinds of stuff.
But they all went on at him though, didn't they? Because he recommended San Maximum.
But then
he actually did get some points. So like,
yeah, but it's still, you know, remember what we say: right decision, wrong outcome. Wrong decision, right.
Yeah,
outcome.
True.
Yeah, remember, it's there's a lot of luck involved.
But it's just supposed to be a bit of fun, though, isn't it? And it like gets taken so blooming seriously. So
you'll be happy to know Gray is off. FPL tips Harry, he says that Gray's off. Chris Wood is also off.
Well, hopefully that's the last goal the prick gets for a while.
It's the 90th minute. I think it's done. Which prick can you?
I thought with DCL, I thought anything he got would have been like assisting DCL. You know, that's why people got him, wouldn't it? Not to bloody score a goal.
Not to score a goal. We'd love to ask you about your team before we go into the Twitter questions and then the live Q&A. So I'm not cracking.
This is
right
what I'm
now.
Talking about. I'd like to see this myself because I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. It's a bloody disaster. I mean, that Webster business pissed me off. Everyone else got like 6 or 7 points from their Brighton defender.
At least
I get
got
one
Sanchez,
point.
Though. At least you've got Sanchez. You could have got double
Sanchez
differential.
But that's another thing. For wild card, I get the Wolves keeper in, I think.
So I like Saar.
Hopefully he's still 4.5.
He's 5, is he not?
Is he? He's only 4.5 in... Oh, maybe he is.
Oh, fan team, yeah. There's so many good prices in so many other formats. I think FPL released too early this season. They've kind of just rushed it out, and some players are priced a bit strange. But
yeah, they made him a big mistake with Mane. Priced Mane completely out the bloody game, didn't they? That's what forces everyone to have the same team, because they don't give you enough options. I mean, I think that every single player in FPL should be an option, you know. So they should price people so that you want them. And most people, most players in the league, you wouldn't go near them, would you? Because they're all blooming.
They should add points for other stuff as well, right? Like, it'll be interesting if stuff like passing or tackles were included in points, like how saves are, because then maybe some CDMs are a bit more interesting. The bonus is a bit random.
They need a new category, I think, for even for defenders, they could have like central defenders and wing backs and make them a separate category, or defensive midfielders and reward them for tackles, like you said, or something like that. But
so
anyway,
you were 81k by the way, so overnight, I don't know what you are now.
I was 60k before the week started. I was thinking I'd get back to 60k, but now I've only got Ailing's point coming on for Calvert-Lewin, so I'm going to lose.
In the cast, both got benched. Just for the podcast listeners, Nick, do you mind reading out the team from a goalkeeper and the rest of the 11?
Well, I've got Sanchez in goal. I've got Trent, Shaw and Webster, who's now injured. Salah, Rafinha, Benrahma and Greenwood. Pretty template there, isn't it? These are all right. And then Calvert-Lewin, Ronaldo and Antonio up front. Gilmore, Tsimikas and Ailing on the bench. So this is a problem with... it's all very well going for this like cheap bench. But the trouble is when you do get a couple of players injured, it then immediately puts you under pressure to wild card. So, I mean, I can take out Calvert-Lewin and replace him with Bamford.
You could start Ailing instead of Antonio.
Yeah, well, I will be starting Ailing anyway instead of Webster.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So he'll be starting, right? And then I can replace Calvert-Lewin with Bamford. And then I have to play Gilmore instead of Antonio. That's if I don't take a hit. But I could take a hit and either take out, which is what I was thinking of anyway, and take out Webster or Antonio. So I could swap Webster to somebody like... Actually, if I take out Calvert-Lewin, I see every bit of adversity is also an opportunity.
I'm glad you say this. Every challenge, every problem, it is a genuine opportunity.
And I'm starting to see... I'm looking at this, I'm starting to see an opportunity here because Calvert-Lewin, I believe, is more expensive... Maybe, how much is Calvert-Lewin? I can't remember.
8.2.
Ah, good. So he's more expensive than Bamford, right?
Yes. You
can and do I was Bamford looking yesterday, head. I was looking yesterday at taking out Antonio and Webster.
Yeah.
But one thing putting me off was because I could only afford a defender up to 4.8 million, someone like White. But if I take out Calvert-Lewin for Bamford, I've got enough for Semedo or for Tierney.
Oh, Tierney, I like the look of that one. What about Tomiyasu? 4.5 could be interesting.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at him yet, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if he's attacking. He did take a good shot, though, didn't he?
It was a flying volley.
But crazy. Yeah, I think you might be right. I don't think I need to wildcard here.
I think all I've got to do is
get rid of Calvert-Lewin and get rid of Webster, keep Antonio on the bench.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose 0.1 or whatever, but when this sort of shit happens, there's not much you can do about it, to be honest.
And it's points over money. I always say this. So
that's probably what Blake Riser's doing, isn't it? That's why he's taking Calvert-Lewin out for Bamford.
Because he's just gone straight for it.
I still don't understand why he's done it tonight. I mean, that's just bad play, isn't it?
But I guess he must be thinking, you know what? Leeds don't play in the midweek, but his other players play in the Champions League, right?
Yeah.
But there's still
no point doing a transfer tonight. It's just because nothing's changing in price. So why do it? It doesn't make any sense.
My friend did
unless
it.
Unless you're wildcarding.
He was just angry. It's the rage transfer.
Yeah, see, so that's a bad transfer, isn't it? If it's an angry transfer is a bad transfer. So if he's done that, that's not good. Unless he knows that he's wildcarding, what's the point of swapping them tonight?
I just want to touch on something.
Unless he wants a defender tonight. Perhaps there's a defender he wants that's going up in price tonight.
Nick, I want to touch on something just from the last week. Like, so say like we're talking about Ronaldo. I was kind of surprised that, I suppose, the Twitter kind of community was like overly cautious on Ronaldo, and everybody was kind of questioning his minutes and whether he was going to start. I kind of thought it was a bit of a circus. Like, what was your take on that?
Well, I went onto my stream and the first thing I said was like, it's Ronaldo, you know, and it is. People were like trying to analyse it. I saw the black box of Mark, etc., doing all
for
this
an
analysis.
Hour. Yeah, for an hour.
And you think, well, it's just Ronaldo. He's the best bloody player in the world, just about. Yeah. You just get him in.
This is like Star Wars with Lord of the Rings.
It's like, And they're like, will he start? And I was like, you know, they've got VIPs flying in from all over the world just to watch him. There's no way
he's not. It's the first time a member of the Glazers family has been there since 2016.
Exactly. There's no way he's going to be on the bench.
Moore was on the crowd.
He just scored two goals against Ireland, didn't he? One was in the last minute, so he's obviously fit.
Both
were in the last 5 minutes.
And why not get him? You know, I said that I was getting him just for the occasion.
In 15 years of playing FPL.
Yeah, exactly. I thought even if he blanks, I can live with that. But I wouldn't be able to live with not getting him and him getting a hat trick or something, you know. And
by the way, Gabe is upset. Crazy. Because, he's saying that credible pundits said he wouldn't start. Ben Dinery last week said he wouldn't start. I think a lot of people said a lot of things. It is true.
Yeah, but they didn't know. None of them knew.
It was a reasonable conversation. But what I will say is, Gabe, is if there wasn't an international break and there wasn't 2 weeks for like the whole community to overthink, I think as a community, we can be guilty sometimes of when there's a slow news day, we just kind of keep talking and then we go around in a full circle. So like you'll say he's going to start, then he won't start, then he will start. Obviously, every team's different. Some teams, it wasn't worth a hit to get him. We said Bruno did quite well, right? And the replacements for Bruno didn't do so well. So overall, if you owned Bruno and captained him and didn't get Ronaldo, you probably still got similar points to a Ronaldo captain. But I think for the three of us, I would agree that to me, it felt like there was a lot of overanalysis because it was an international break and it was Ronaldo.
I just want to say, I have never, ever in my life seen something as overthought as well as Ronaldo was going to start. I swear to God. Yeah. Like, and see, even the analysis in Black Box, I watched it. I didn't agree with it. They were talking about, are United going to be able to cross the ball for Ronaldo? But like, does Ronaldo not score with his left and right foot? Ronaldo can score a bad cross because all you have to do is stand the ball up and he's got the biggest leap anybody's ever seen. They just power the ball in. And I just thought the whole analysis of like Ronaldo, I thought, like, you're not talking about some kind of butt part player here. Like, this boy, you can genuinely call him one of the best players of this generation. And I just, no, I disagree. I don't think it's hindsight
bias.
Gable
says hindsight bias. Well,
It's not hindsight bias at all. We were saying it for two weeks.
And just because these kind of like some expert and kind of player start and says, oh, I don't think he's going to start. We all disagreed with that. We says, well, why?
Your face told a thousand words that day.
But I didn't agree at all. I thought he was always going to start. Because he was training
Cavani
on the Tuesday.
Cavani wasn't in training. There was let me tell you one last thing. There was,
he was training on the Tuesday.
But there was even a credible leak. There was a credible leak that Cavani didn't go with the rest of the squad to the hotel as well. So even the night before, like, news was starting to get out.
Agreed. Mm. But like, I kind of think, see the
That's
second,
right? Fred didn't travel either, did he? They had the hotel guest list and they weren't on it.
I was surprised. See, whenever like we seen him and say training kit on a Tuesday, I was surprised that like kind of good FPL managers didn't call in their whole, or Ronaldo's going to be on the bench.
Yeah, but a lot of them did sneak him in though. They all said for two weeks they weren't going to get him. And then Then somebody came on who reckoned they was in the know, didn't they? And they come on and said, oh, Ronaldo's starting and he's on penalties. And they're all going, yeah, exactly. Like, it could have been anybody, couldn't it? But they're like, we better get him in now then, you know. So like, they all use that as an excuse to get him. But most of them did get him in the end.
What I will say is it is still team specific. So I think if certain people were going to captain someone else and they didn't need to take the hit to get him, it makes sense. But I don't think it's then hindsight bias that the people who could get him without too much damage went for it. I saw some really credible patient managers take -8s to get to him. It was a risky move. I think that's what I would say. So this early in the season, it was risky. But
I don't think it was risky.
It was risky both sides. I think it was more risky not to get him.
I looked at it as an EO number, and I was convinced just on the transfer trend numbers going up that his EO would be considerably higher in the top, say, 300k than Bruno. I knew people would captain Salah, they would captain Antonio, they probably wouldn't captain Bruno. That was my view. And it ended up being 115% EO for, I think, Ronaldo, and 35% for Bruno. So that was a big swing considering Bruno started the week at over 50% ownership. Ronaldo was at 0%. I like Gabriel's debate. He thinks hindsight bias to say having doubts was overthinking. No, I don't think having doubts was overthinking. I think if your team didn't need to buy him, then it makes sense not to buy him. But I think on Twitter, the fact that there was a 2-week break, it means people are prone to just talk and talk and talk and talk about the game to the point where, yeah, we, over any international break, as FPL managers, we will overthink most decisions, Ronaldo or otherwise. That's just my view. And yes, there was credible people who said he wouldn't start, but from the start, I said he'll get a brace. So just on that note, this is the first stream since the weekend. And Nick, I've been saying for 2 weeks to everyone that all the conversations over the entire international break will be academic when Ronaldo gets his brace. Have I not been saying that, Hibbo, for like 3 weeks now?
But and here's the thing. Words,
it will be academic because he'll but get
just,
a brace.
Just to kind of pull back off the hindsight bias. Just to pull back the hindsight bias. We had this argument in the WhatsApp chat.
Yeah.
Before the game.
Before the bench, you'll get a brace.
Before the game, and I basically, like, I was like, people were like, what about this analysis of fucking, and I basically says, I don't need to see no fucking analysis in Ronaldo. I'm 37 years old. I've been alive for fucking all of Ronaldo's career. I don't need to see analysis. I just need to buy Ronaldo. And like, I know me and Gabe kind of had a kind of about a tete-a-tete about that in the WhatsApp, but like, there's at times I kind of think where like, I just think I have to do something. And on a given week, I don't need to watch Black Box. I don't need to read an article. I just need to buy a player. And that's the way I felt about Ronaldo. I kind of thought to myself, Newcastle are terrible. Ronaldo's going to score points.
It's a special occasion, wasn't it? Rare event. It's not normal FPL. Something you just have to do. But I was a bit worried, though, during the game. First half was shit.
He said he was nervous.
He admitted he was. You could tell the way he was playing. And then, thank God he got that goal. If it had only been 1 minute of injury time at the end of the first half, he wouldn't have got it, would he? And then it could have all been different. But
out of interest, everyone's talking about Mikel Antonio. Obviously, he's in your team. I know you've said you're going to bench him potentially and not wildcard to sell Calvert-Lewin and Webster. What do you think for most people? So like, if they don't have like an ailing on the bench, if they've got like a really bad bench player, let's say they've got a Brownhill, what would you do? Would you sell him in that scenario?
I would have sold him this week. I was going to sell him because they've got Europa League. The fixtures aren't as good as Bamford's got, etc. Okay, it costs a bit more to buy back, but not a lot more. I mean, I got him for 7.5, I think. What is he now? 7.9? He might already be 7.8. 7.9, is he? So he's going to drop a couple more anyway. So it's not going to be a huge increase to buy him back. And the fixtures aren't fantastic. And the way his price went last night, it depends how fast his price moves, but it was moving bloody quick yesterday. And there are alternatives, aren't there? So, mind you, it's only really Jimenez and Bamford, isn't it, now?
Hello,
Calvert-Lewin's out, so...
People might be trying to get the Ronaldo or Lukaku.
There's people going for Pukki, there's people going for Dennis, there's some...
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be doing all that. I'd rather keep Antonio than do that. I don't know if I want Bamford, actually, because I've got Rafinha already. But
that's the issue. So I'm looking at Benrahma to Rafinha, and part of me is kind of thinking...
Jimenez hasn't scored yet, has he? So
I could do Tony to him, though. Tony against Wolves, Jimenez against Brentford. I don't know. I feel like two free transfers is better the following week, going by your principles.
I'm probably going to keep him now anyway because I'm going to have to deal with Calvert-Lewin. So I don't think I am wildcarding now, but I'm going to probably just do Calvert-Lewin and Webster for another hit.
Okay.
But it's too many hits. Like I said in that thing, I only took 4 hits all season in that year I finished in the top. I'm already on my second hit if I do another one this week. And it's only game week 4, game week 5. So I could wild. I mean, it's not much difference between wildcarding now and wildcarding in game week 7, probably. But
do you think that's the ideal time to wildcard? Do you think game week 7's?
Well, I was planning not to. I'm planning to keep it as long as possible until like a shit show happens and this kind of crap happens to my team, you know. But I think I can get away without using one this week.
I think you can get away with it because Ailing's playable. Gilmore might play this week.
Yeah, apparently he didn't play because of international duty, apparently.
Yeah, same.
Makes sense. Maybe Mount as well. Maybe that's the reason he didn't get any minutes too, right?
It could be, unless they're saving him for the Champions League.
I did worry about that. It was strange. Even FPL Tips Harry was surprised, I guess.
Mount's so popular because I've had him before and he's never done shit for me, to be honest.
I think they fought more because of Lukaku. I don't know, but it seems early to get him. I think my view is I'd rather have a double up of the Chelsea defence.
Well, that's what I'm planning too. Just want Lukaku in for Ronaldo and two Chelsea defenders. Don't need one to be James because of his attacking returns. And
yeah,
someone
he's
like
got to be one of them. Yeah,
Christensen like or Rudiger.
James didn't start the last match, but did he?
Chelsea midfield's a bit of a blooming. There's just too many of them, aren't there? Too many Chelsea midfielders.
There is. What do you think about? Should we go to the Twitter Q&A and then?
No, I think you're going to stick on. I think we've got some questions here.
Oh, do you?
Antonio's 50-50, isn't it? There's a good case for taking him out, and there's also a good case for keeping him. So there's no real right answer with that one, I think. I don't think whichever one you choose, you're not making a mistake. You know, I mean, it might want to turn out better than the other, but none of us know which is the right move, really, do we? Yeah, like I say, I think it's 50-50.
So, like, answer me this, Nick. So, like, where do you stand at the minute on, say, Lukaku popped off at the weekend? So, like, in terms of the premium situation, are you, like, very much in the kind of two premium camp?
Yeah, very much. I think I'm going to have Ronaldo until Lukaku game week 7 and just swap them over. I don't think I'll have both. I mean, the main thing with Ronaldo was people like, oh, don't get Ronaldo, he's got terrible fixtures. And I'm like, well, you only want him for the next three. Do you know what I mean? We only got him in for like the next three fixtures. I think he's got Villa at home in game week 6, hasn't he? So you keep Ronaldo till then at least and then swap them over probably. Maybe if he's really good, then you can go with both up top.
The fixtures get fairly tight, I think.
You know, he's probably going to, once he gets over that initial excitement of being back, you know, he's going to not be quite as prolific. You just don't know, do you? But you can see Lukaku's definitely going to be the one to own, isn't he? But you want Salah, I think. You want somebody in midfield, one of the premiums, and fitting three premiums in, it means you have to get that prick grey, doesn't it? So
it worked this week, doesn't it?
They're the big winners. They're the big winners this week. The ones that got three premiums and stuck grey in just because they couldn't afford anybody else, and now they've bloody hit the jackpot, bastards.
Where do you see the value in the game, Nick? So yesterday you actually put out a tweet, I think, about the price range under 7.5 million. And you said there's kind of under 15 defenders that have 20 plus points. And there's actually 5 midfielders in that same bracket, maybe 6. So do you think this trend will continue that the, I guess, under 7.5 midfielders will be significantly below the defenders?
I think the trouble with the midfielders is it's hard to predict when they're going to get points. And some of them are pretty sketchy and unproven, aren't they? Like Traore, the ones that people are bringing in have got no real record of being good at FPL, have they? I mean, Gray got points today, but he's like 1 out of 10, you know, whereas the defenders, people like Rudiger or Diaz, you know, the City defenders, etc.
Cancelo.
Exactly. They're just so much more reliable. You know, you're going to get a steady stream of points, whereas midfielders, they might get 15 one week and then you get 5 blanks in a row, you know, and they're harder to own because you tend to get rid of them before they...
Is that all the people getting excited about Mbeumo from Brentford? And I'm thinking, for 5.5, I could have Rudiger.
I thought that was crazy in game week 1. I thought that was madness, you know, because they played against 10 men Arsenal. Not 10 men, maybe, but they didn't have any strikers or anything.
That was the game after. All the shit first three Arsenal games were like the worst.
One game, you know, and they all over that Brentford player. You know, he was a classic sort of score in the first week and never score again type player, wouldn't he? And they're all over him. But you get that every season. But
I think Cancelo is a kind of interesting one because, like, we're looking at Man City defence, and I know normally they're quite rotation heavy, but I think he started maybe every game so far. He's obviously got that kind of assist threat. And, like, when I look around teams in my money leagues, nobody owns Man City defence. Nobody owns Man City defence.
So who's his replacement? Is it Walker?
Is he playing right back now? Because he's a left. He can play both.
Has he played both sides?
Has he played with Walker in the same team this season?
I think so, yeah. I think he's played left back in games ahead of Zinchenko. I might be wrong. He can also play right back ahead of Walker. That's the thing. So he can kind of do both. He's way more attacking when he plays left back, though. So if he's going to be semi-nailed on,
he's very good, isn't he?
He's more exciting than Diaz if he's starting, yeah.
He starts more Diaz, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's more nailed. But even still, Laporte and Stones, they're there. So there's three of them competing for two places. So it's not like centre-back is a given either, really.
I'm kind of looking at Cancelo from like game week 8 because I know from game week 8, Man City start this kind of great run on. Like, I'm targeting that period myself for kind of like a wild card because like everybody at the minute is talking about Chelsea. You boys are talking about Chelsea and doubling the defence and I completely agree with that. But like part of me is thinking I want to kind of turn the corner and get on to Man City because Man City, once they had a good run of fixtures, I think Cancelo's going to just fucking haul ass. Like, you know, he's one of these players, he gets an assist and he scores 12 points. Like, you know, it's...
Thing is, we'll all have double Chelsea defence by then, won't we? So it's kind of... I suppose you can stick him in as well, but...
You could do Trent, Reece James, Cancelo, oh, there's Trent and too, yeah.
Would you ever get rid of Trent? When do Liverpool have bad fixtures?
I'm never selling Trent.
I'm never selling Trent. Never. And there's boys... The argument is about, like, say, like three premiums, and I seen somebody talking today about we'll have to see if we can go without Trent, and it's like... You can't go without Trent.
He made 20 chances this season. I think the second highest players in the Prem have made 10 chances.
But if you go with Trent, Cancelo and James, that's quite...
It's expensive.
Quite expensive. And then...
It's sexy, but...
Then I think you're cutting yourself off from the likes of Greenwood when you do that, aren't you? Because you're going to have to go down to the Gray and people like that.
But I think Greenwood and like Jota, like I don't think long term they're as nailed. So I think when
those two are, but there's also people like Havertz and
there is Son as well.
Zaha, even someone said Zaha yesterday. You know, once these other teams get good fixtures, there's other.
There
midfielders that you're going to want probably. There's although Torres, whether they can Foden, whether Morris. They can keep up with Cancelo or not is a different matter, isn't it? And
I still remember going for Cancelo and Diaz and Stones did it. I remember going for I think it was Ben Mee instead of Lowton. I remember Lowton did it. I remember I went for Zaha instead of Eze. I went for Ward instead of Mitchell. I don't know if this recalls anything to you, Nick, but last season every time I spent more for the expensive player in every double game week, the budget fucking prick always did better.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's happening. That's what's happened with Gray, isn't it, this week? So maybe you don't need 7.5 mids. Maybe you can have a Smith Rowe or somebody in there and that Gallagher, sort of price. Maybe. Yeah, Gallagher. There's quite a few at that sort of price range. And then you can have, you know, someone like Cancelo plus one of them is going to be 7.5 and a 4.5 defender, probably, aren't they?
It's probably It's
probably a better combination.
I think so, and they're both nailed.
So that's why I didn't get Fernandes because I thought Greenwood and Son would be a better combination than Fernandes and 4.5 or whatever.
Even though one of his shots was like off target, but I don't think
I've got a theory about Greenwood. I think he must be doing something to that ball because every shot he has, the keeper spills it. Every single one, his goals and his assist. And I think he's like doing snooker shots on something. He's like screwing the ball. You know, he's like putting some kind of spin on it because the keepers just can't, I mean, hold it. I mean, it's low and spinning or whatever it's doing. And every single one's been spilled by the keepers. All three of his goals and the assist. So all of them are savable.
What do you feel about these? Because you've got Rafinha, so that kind of puts you off Bamford a bit as a Calvert-Lewin or Antonio.
And I've got Ayling as well. And defensively, they look shit. You know those ICT tables I do? I put in this week's ones, and Arsenal have climbed up above Leeds now, and Leeds are like next to bottom.
Oh, wow.
Their opponents have been having a field day. You know, they got a terrible score. Obviously, they got down to 10 men against Liverpool.
They've got lots of injuries as well now, yeah.
Context. I think context is important because, like, if you look, during that run they played United and during that run they played Liverpool, and like they lost a man against Liverpool, and like Manny looked as if he had about 100 shots himself yesterday alone.
Yeah.
His finishing was fucking atrocious. Like Manny could have scored a hat-trick yesterday.
But it could be second season syndrome though, couldn't it?
Could be.
My other theory is that Leeds benefited from having no crowd last season because the manager like fired them up more than like the opposition were often fired up. And now that everyone's like on an even footing, and I don't know. There's a lot of hype about Leeds because they're a big club. Like they were huge in the 70s, weren't they? With Don Revy, etc. Like they're a big history, big club, big support base. And I'm wondering if they're kind of hyped up above where they really should be, you know. But we'll see. But I'm not sure I want three of them.
Yeah, so I'm on
Ealing. Like Hibbo says, I mean, once the fixtures change, it could be a completely different game, couldn't it? A bit like Arsenal once they played Norwich.
Yes, just and that was the first time that back five had played together, and it was the first time certain CMs were there. I think with the fixtures to come, I think Tottenham is the only what you could even call slightly difficult game between now and Liverpool in November. So no European midweek distraction.
True. Leeds are still good, you reckon? Bamford did put in a good shot yesterday, didn't he?
I'm interested in Bamford, but
I'll probably get him because there's no one else to go for, is there?
But Rafinha feels like a no-brainer. And I guess Jimenez hasn't been popping. So I think it's Jimenez versus Bamford now. And that's a good time to kind of talk about the Wolves assets, right? Because people are going for the defenders like Semedo and Marcao. But I think
Semedo is the one. He's so attacking. I know we're all going for Marcao because he happened to get the assists last week. But I think Semedo long term, he's the one. And I think Marcao's got competition as well for that spot.
Al Nouri,
or whatever he's called, yeah.
No, but, I think so. I think a Wolves defender is okay, but I think if you were going to take a punt now and you were going to spend 4.9 million, I would be picking between, say, Semedo and Tierney. If you were going to spend 4.5 million, I'd be picking between Marcao and like White or Tommy Arsene. Yeah. So I feel like that's where you would go.
There were only two players from Arsenal yesterday who never had a shot in the entire game. One of them was White and the other was Odegaard.
I know. I watched them. I was there live. We took 30 shots for the first time since like 2016 or 17. It was the most shots ever taken under Arteta.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very clinical, but there was 30 shots, 10 on target, I think. When you've got five players in the back line playing together for the first time and the whole 11 looks like it's only ever played together this one time with 2 days prep, they're gonna lack.
Believe it's only 1-0.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think Krul made some good saves.
The stats are incredible. That ICT index, Arsenal were right at the top. They got for conceded ones.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the game, we actually switched to a 4-3-3. There were some questions in the live chat about Saka. I've been saying I prefer Saka to Smith Rowe and Odegaard. I'd pay the extra million.
What do you think of Pepe?
I like him, but my worry with him is he's at risk to Saka. So Saka could play right wing ahead of Pepe, or he could play left wing when Pepe plays right wing. Now, if Arteta ever chooses to play Laka up top, Oba will float into left wing, and I can't see Pepe keeping the right wing spot over Saka in that situation. So it's a difficult one. Like, it's risky, yeah.
Yeah, it is, I think, isn't it?
But
I think
for 1 million less, like when Saka, I would go.
Oh, is he 7.5? Is he Pepe?
Yeah, so Pepe's he's gone down in price though. So I have looked at him as a Benrahma replacement for a punt. So while everyone's doing Benrahma to Rafinha, I thought, what if I did Benrahma to Pepe and I bench Antonio for Ealing? Like, imagine Pepe pops for the next two or three games. Because as bad as Pepe has looked, from an eye test point of view, from a statistics point of view, I think he made 6 chances last game.
He was at the top of everything in statistics.
Yeah, his numbers look great. From an eye test point of view, I'm worried he could lose his spot when it comes, but we don't have European fixtures, so there's no reason why they won't start in that same formation. Maybe Smith Rowe and Odegaard rotate number 10, and maybe Saka plays left wing and Pepe plays right wing every game. Maybe Laka and Oba rotate striker. I just feel like we don't know enough.
It's very difficult, isn't it? I looked all last week. Arsenal, and it's just such a conundrum knowing which
That's what I was going to say about Pepe. Like at 7.5 million, if you're not 100% sure about his expected minutes, and I know we're kind of hot on that, it's like you're paying $7.5 million, you turn on your TV and you don't know if he's going to start. Maybe it wouldn't be for me, you know, that kind of way. But against Norwich, like, you know, it's I had him on a few fan teams. I know we don't talk too much about fan team in the channel, but I had him on a few fan teams because I did fancy him now, I have to say.
Hibbo, tell us where you came in the free roll, or has the game updated? Because I think you were in the like top 10 or some shit.
Oh, I think
I was
just checking there now when you were chatting. I came 17th and won. I came 75th an hour. So I think I cashed for like £30. Nothing major, but it gives me a bit of play. Like, you know,
now, £30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take that all day.
For two free tickets, like, it's not too bad. Like,
exactly.
I thought the ticket we won was the real monster, and it was the small monster.
No, the Ben Dinnery ticket. I forgot to enter. So I won a ticket through the Twitter competition, and I didn't enter it in time because I was out. I was out. I think so. What day was it? Was it a Saturday? I got off the train at like 12. I started drinking. I missed the deadline. I didn't enter my teams.
But I'd have won decent money and really deal one if I had entered.
You could have won the 9K first place prize. Like
I wouldn't have won that. But just we'll touch on one kind of last point here before we move on to, I suppose, the Twitter questions. And it was basically like, so say like pre-season, we talked about Palace being kind of whooping boys, and they haven't really looked that way. And like what do you think of Conor Gallagher, and what do you think of Palace assets generally?
I think they look pretty good. They were quite. Look at how they restricted Tottenham this week. You know, they look a good side, don't they, really? They've got good players. I think there's a lot of question marks over the manager, but they've started pretty good.
I'll tell you what, though, in the Emirates, there was
Mitchell looked good. Mitchell, Zaha, and Gallagher. And Eduardo, too.
Eduardo was good now.
You know, no, I think Mitchell's a great option.
He could be a bit of a trap, Edward, couldn't he? He could be a bit of a trap.
I wouldn't go but near him at 6.5.
The good thing is we got 3 or 4 weeks where we can watch him, haven't we? Because you don't really want to buy them yet because they've got shit fixtures.
Grey owners can move to Gallagher come gaming 9 or 10.
It's gonna be interesting to see. They better move to anybody because Grey will be about 10 million by then after all the goals he's going to score in the next few weeks. But what was I forgot what I was saying now. Yeah, I think they're all pretty good options, those. They're all good options. They've got Liverpool next week, haven't they? That's going to be really interesting because everyone's thinking, oh, Captain Salah. It'd be funny to see Palace beat them, wouldn't it, next week? So it's going to be interesting to see how they get on.
Well, people captain Kane this week against Palace. They were like, this is the only time you'll ever see Kane below 10% EO ever in the Premier League. It was his first game ever with 0 shots or 0 touches in the opposition box.
He does that a lot, doesn't he, in the easy games? He's very unreliable.
I've captained him through many blanks through big, like, easy games.
Didn't he play Cardiff once and he got bloody 1 point? Or maybe that was Aguero. One of them did.
Okay, we'll do. And, so if we go to the Twitter questions then. What are we thinking, guys? Twitter questions?
Where can I see those?
Let me put them on the screen.
It should come up on the screen, then you'll be able to make
They're all the same quest. I saw those yesterday.
Pretty much. They're all pretty much the same, yeah. So we've got Jaskar in 32. He's used the wild card during the international break. He brought in Christensen. He was benched. Antonio got a red. Christensen was benched. Didn't play. FPL Tips told me he was advising people, buy Christensen for 5 mil. He got a lot of abuse after that. Antonio red carded, Jota blank, Semedo squandered 2 big chances. He's quite dejected.
He probably got Bruno Livramento off the bench. I don't know why he's complaining.
He probably didn't know about DCL today. But I don't know. But I guess maybe he has Livramento for Christensen. You're right. On a wild card, I'd probably have Livramento. If you don't, Jaskaran, that's on you, mate. You should have had Livramento on your benches on a wild card last week. But how do you not feel dejected? I actually spoke to a follower today and they said they had a wild card. They weren't too happy. It got quite a low number of points. What do you do from there? Because my view is a wild card isn't for 1 week and you should never judge like week one and let it get you on tilt.
They're a bit of a double-edged sword, aren't they, wild cards? They can just as easily stuff you up as they can do you well, you know. I've had that happen to me before. I've wildcarded a team, and then like a week later, I wished I had my original team back. Because like we saw with all these injuries this week, you know, things can change just so damn quick. You know, 4 days ago I had the perfect team, I thought, and now it's stuffed. And that can happen. You know, you can wild card into all sorts of trouble if you're not careful. So, but Christensen, I don't know. Is he nailed? I don't really know.
I think he'll play every 7 or 8 out of 10 is the way it was framed.
Because Gabriel's going to play, isn't he? Because he's still a pretty top class defender.
Yeah, or Thiago, you mean?
Or Thiago?
Yeah, Thiago. Yeah, yeah. That's the one.
He did quite well. Yeah, he did really well. But Gabriel, yeah, Arsenal player, he looks great. Top 5 centre back.
How much is he?
Probably 5 million. But Thiago's. I don't think he's going to go for him. I don't think he's nailed because he isn't.
He's
quite old as well. Not quite old, but for football terms.
Not as old as Ronaldo, probably.
Yeah, he's probably younger than Ronaldo.
Everyone going on about Ronaldo being old, and then you look at him and you think, what the hell are they talking about?
The most ripped guy I've ever.
It's not like he's 50, is it?
Yeah. No, there's some good times. We have a question from GPage71 if you want to read it out here, both for the podcast listeners.
Yeah, so this is Ozzy Shirks, he's called. And this is like a serious question. Should I knee-jerk and blow up this team with a wild card and maybe target Alexa Lukaku and Bamford? So just kind of reading from back to front for podcast listeners. Is Sanchez in goal? Trent Arnold, Shaw, Tsimikas, Rafinha, Greenwood, Fernandes, Salah, Benrahma, Calvert-Lewin, Antonio, Steele, Kufal, White, and this boy Skjerdet that doesn't play up front. It's not an awful team.
There's nothing wrong with it. If I was him, well, he should have done it last. If I was him, I'd do Fernandes and Calvert-Lewin out for Ronaldo and somebody else. And then there's nothing wrong with it. Bench Antonio.
Imagine it was Gray and Ronaldo this week with a Ronaldo cap.
He can play White this week, can he?
I would play White this week. I know people have talked about, like, oh, it's Burnley away. I don't like it. It's fine. Like, I'm sorry. Like, no hit is ever worth. I'd rather have White plus 4 than whoever you're going to buy for that same price point. If you're buying a premium, maybe, but there's no other 4.5 mil defender that's great.
It's not a terrible fixture.
Yeah, Burnley away is not the end of the world.
Burnley are going to be Biggie's 3-0.
You definitely wouldn't wildcard that team, would you?
No, I wouldn't wildcard this team.
No, I wouldn't wildcard that. No.
Not even close. Like, I would probably just sell Calvert-Lewin to Bamford, Calvert-Lewin to Jimenez.
I think he's midfield. He's midfield kick ass. He's midfield. Even if he doesn't take Fernandes out, he's midfield kick ass. Like, that's.
I would just play White instead of Tsimikas and sell Calvert-Lewin. That's literally.
You don't even need Ronaldo this week, do you? Who are they playing this week?
You wouldn't captain this week. It's away to West Ham.
No,
he could do well against West Ham boys. Now, come on,
he could, but I'm going to be captaining Salah at home.
I don't think I'd buy him this week if I didn't have him. I don't think I'd.
We always said he was a free game week pick, like last week, this week, and the following week.
Yeah, exactly. At least this is best fixture. I think if you haven't got him now, then you just try and ride your luck. And
yeah, like you almost got him too early. I think
because you can captain Salah in game week 6 when. He plays Villa. And Villa's defensive numbers aren't too bad.
You can play Brentford away, Salah captain. It's not the end of the world. Just to go on to the live questions, because we're at like 1 hour 48. I know you didn't have a hard stop, but we don't want to keep you forever. So we will get through the Twitter questions and then get some live questions in. So this one's a FBLDGYBoy88. Two problems. He's only got one free transfer for next week. He still has Mahrez. So, A, is there any mid under 9.8 million that they should target? They're thinking Rafinha or Saar. So, it'd be good to get your thoughts on initially whether it's Rafinha or Saar you would go for a Mahrez replacement, or if there's someone else under 9.8.
Definitely Rafinha over Saar. I mean, I had the same choice to make last week, and I went Rafinha, even though they had Liverpool and Watford had an easy game, because Rafinha is fantasy proven. You know, I think he's the sort of player you can bring him and just leave him there for 10 weeks. Whereas somebody like Saar, I mean, we don't really know yet. I mean, he did okay in the championship. But
They're 20 chances the Prem so far in 4 weeks. Like, I would not be wanting a Watford attacker personally.
He's not someone you'd want for 10 weeks, is he? As soon as Rafinha scored, he'd want to swap to Rafinha.
Rise in price the moment he starts hauling. Yeah. Sarr is not going to rise in price like crazy. Rafinha could be the next Benrahma, Antonio, in terms of price.
He's good value anyway at that price. I mean, before the season started, everyone was saying that Rafinha was underpriced. He's one of the few players that's cheaper in FPL than they are in fan team. And
he's a pricey player. He's a good player. What do you think about Amity then? So their other option is to kind of, I guess, upgrade Amity to like any defender on the 4.9. And they were thinking Tierney
He could keep Mahrez, couldn't he? He could wait and see what
against Southampton Man City's home,
champions,
right?
champion, see who they pick in the Champions League.
Yeah, because if they don't play Mahrez in the Champions League,
good
maybe
point.
Could
be his choice. And I think Lego Mane on Twitter, he's one of the many predictors of the Pep roulette. And he actually says that it's easier to guess Pep once the UCL starts up. At least there's another input of data to help us make our decision.
So I think, Mahrez, I wouldn't be rushing to make any transfers, actually.
Because he could bench Livramento, right?
He's got Livramento playing away to City.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got Veltman in here too. I think that was maybe pre-injury, this question. Well, I don't know how...
No, Veltman's not injured. Veltman's not injured. I own Veltman.
He's got no choice. He's got to play Livramento because all of the
I'm thinking of Webster, sorry. I'm thinking of Webster.
Players are out. So he's going to have to make one transfer this week. Otherwise, he's pretty stuffed, isn't he? He's got no bench and... what's this? Oh, I saw this question yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we're on to Bag and Boy sent about 20 questions. We only picked two of them because we feel like you naturally answered some of them in the interview.
Yeah, they're all the same, weren't they?
Yeah. Go on, Hibbo, read this one.
So for the benefit of the podcast listeners, so Bag and Boy FPL is saying, Nick, you've been playing for a very long time. What drives you? Why do you play FPL? What appeals? You've got the ranks and you've got the fame. Do you have the fame? Like, is this a thing?
Well, you invited me on your program, didn't you?
Pretty much. We begged you to come on.
I was begging you to come on.
But basically, what makes you go on now? Like, once you've had all this kind of rank and stuff like that, like, why do you still play? What's the motivation, basically?
Oh, I enjoy it. You know, I still enjoy it. The main thing for me is my work, mini league, etc. You know, and the people in real life is at the heart of the game. Really, is banter. You know, that's what it's all about for me. I just enjoy it. You know, I don't think I could stop playing. To be honest, I'm sort of addicted to it.
It's a big part of our lives, isn't it?
Yeah, I get a bit sick of it sometimes, but. Still play it, you know. So there's only one season I didn't finish. That was 2 years ago, I think. I sort of gave up in April. But all the other times I've just carried on. Quite enjoy it, generally. I enjoy this season.
Questions for you, Nick, by the way. So he says ages back on your blog, you said the 3-4-3 is the best formation. Do you still stick with that? Or is it that now that there's an onslaught of wing-backs in modern times, you would be willing to go to a back four or a back five?
I do always go 3-4-3, and that's probably why I haven't done so well maybe the last couple of seasons. So a lot of people have spent more in defence. You know, all those years I did good, I had a cheap defence. And I think I was pretty slow on Trent in previous seasons. I tried to ignore him, you know, once his price got high up in the 7, I ignored him, and it kind of backfired on me a little bit. But I generally don't like spending too much in defence. And especially, yes, 3-4-3 I like. I'm playing it every week so far this season, I think. But second half of the season, once you've got more money, I think 3-5-2 becomes a much more viable.
I think I like that you're a man of my own heart because both those formations only have three defenders, and that's how I like to play. I feel like the most upside is in the attacking 7, right?
I think so.
Even if there's value in the defence, I would still try to punt. I'm a gambling man. I could get steady points if I'm willing to have a 5.5 defender for 38 weeks. But the reality is I'd rather just take the risk and maybe fall short. But there's a small chance that with the right transfers, my 7 attackers will outscore that defender. It's a low chance. But if you do it right, there's 4 top 1K finishes for you right there.
The other thing is you've got more choice of which defenders you bench when you've got 5 of them, haven't you? So you can kind of play the fixtures a bit more. When you've got to play 4 of them, it's harder to get away from the ones with a bad fixture.
I have one question for you, Nick. Before we go to the live chat, there was a question about JWP, so Ward Prowse. They're asking why he's so neglected. I think he's 6.5 million. He's on free kicks. He's on penalties. He's probably the best free kick scorer in the last 4 or 5 years in the Premier League. He did get 8 goals last year. Now he's on penalties. They're saying surely he'll do better. It just doesn't appeal to me. I'll let you give your thoughts, but it does not appeal to me.
I don't know if he do better. I think that's the maximum you're going to get out of him, probably. But they haven't had the fixtures yet, have they? So none of us have even probably considered Southampton players.
So if you do a wild card in game week 7 or 8, they have some incredible fixtures, I think.
He looks more appealing in fan team, doesn't he? Because you get points for playing 90 minutes, etc. Apparently he always
plays
does that.
Every game of every week of every season. You're
right. Josh is very big on JWP, isn't he?
By the way. So game week 8 is Leeds. Then we've got Burnley, Watford, Villa, Norwich.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Armstrong
might be interested, man.
Armstrong for 5.5 over 6.5 JWP.
I think he's six.
So he could be a good enabler to help you get all your Chelsea players in, couldn't he? So
he could. I'm going to go to the questions from the live chat because we're at 1 hour 55. We're going to try and let you go in the next 5-10 minutes.
I'm happy if you guys are.
Well, if there's still questions, we're happy, and we'll take you backstage for more questions that are when we talk to each other about that whole Scarface background and rock star. And I'm sure there's a lot of secret conversations to have after, but I don't want to be disqualified from the Football Content Awards for leaking team news. So we'll talk about that later. But do you want to pull up?
I saw you yesterday. You were going on about people with multiple teams, I think.
Yeah. I'm calling out cheaters now, and I'm like, I hope they don't do my team.
My cat here, she has her own team.
Well, at least she exists, and right? Some people have 13 teams and it's just one guy.
Yeah.
But maybe we can get your cat to do the captaincy pick 1 week. So Mariner does the captaincy pick with his cat.
I always used to do a few extra teams to test out different strategies, etc. You know, like 5 at the back, because normally by Christmas they'd be in the bin, you know. But seems a bit of a shame not to, you know, involve all your family members sometimes.
I'm gonna get my wife involved next year. My dog. I'm gonna get Hibbo's best friend from Derry involved. I'm gonna have teams for everyone. We'll let you pull the first question up, Hibbo.
How do I do this again? Put the three fucking right. So this is actually my cousin. He's saying, "What's the view on bringing in Bamford for Antonio compared to say like Richarlison or Jimenez? Which would you prefer really out of Bamford, Richarlison, or Jimenez, and why?"
It's got to be Bamford, hasn't it, with the fixtures and Jimenez. There's still a bit of a question mark over him, isn't there? Really, don't know if he's up to what he was before. I mean, he hasn't done much wrong, though, has he, really? But
Richarlison, he doesn't have the pains, obviously, because DCL took the pains.
He doesn't appeal. Money DCL's out now for 3 or 4 weeks.
DCL's out, it could be an interesting punt. I do like that, but I think for me, Bamford is the guy. Like, if you don't have Rafinha and you need to move Antonio, if you cannot bench him, then I would be going Bamford over Jimenez all day. Well, I wouldn't even be looking at Richarlison. That just smells too clever to me. Like, you're trying too hard.
Yes, I agree. It's being differential for the sake of it, isn't it?
When I'm trying to make a transfer, I kind of think, well, what can I get in the first week as well? Like, even before, like, a good run. And I know Bamford's got a good run. But, like, Newcastle's just... it's, like, the best fixture going at the moment. I just think Newcastle are a disgrace. I think, like...
Who's playing them this week?
Leeds, Friday night. On their Leeds.
Oh, it's a Friday night kickoff, is that?
I like them matches.
Definitely not playing my wild card now. There's no time to bloody sort it out.
What do you think? I've got a question for you. So some people have been asking about Edouard. They're saying, do you think his minutes depend on Benteke? I think they probably do. But equally, Benteke just signed an extension. From what I hear from Palace fans, he only ever plays well to get contracts. So now that he's got the contract, like, maybe Edouard just takes his place. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't buy Edouard till he takes the place. But if he takes the place, would you buy Edouard at 6.5?
Surely he's going to be first choice. Yeah, we should know by we should know by the time Palace get good fixtures. So
yeah, game week 8 or 9, we were saying, wasn't
we'll know by then, so which is good, isn't it?
We will. Someone is asking how they can show their team and they're thinking about wildcarding. If you tweet any of the three of us now, while we're still live on air, we will reply about whether we think you should wildcard or not, Max Walters. So just send us a tweet or reply to the pinned tweet on @net.hall Twitter. In the meantime, I'm going to go to a friend of the show, Mike Halpin. He's asking about wildcard too. It feels like wildcard is very topical with the DCL injury and the Antonio red card. He has Tony, DCL, and Antonio. That feels kind of rough. He's asking, should he take a hit to sell Bruno and DCL to get Lukaku plus a midfielder? Or should he just wildcard to sort out that front three? What do you think?
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult, actually, for people taking out Antonio and getting another mid-price striker in. Because in a couple of weeks, they're going to have to get Lukaku anyway, aren't they? So I think there is a case for getting Lukaku in now, really, if you're going to be doing it in 2 weeks anyway. I know we've got bad fixtures, but there's no reason why Lukaku can't score.
Are missing defenders, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason why Lukaku can't score in that game, is there?
And okay, you won't captain him against City either, but I don't know.
No, like, but he can score. I mean, they've beaten City the last two times they've played them, haven't they?
Well, he has also said he could take a minus eight and swap Tony for Bamford. So he could kind of sell, I guess. What was he saying? He was saying he could sell Calvert-Lewin, Tony and Bruno for
it's
a minus eight.
Too late to get Greenwood now, isn't it?
I
agree.
I think so.
I actually wouldn't sell Tony this week before. Like, I think Wolves isn't a bad fixture for Tony. I'm happy to hold him, I think. I know he hasn't really done it, but like, it's not one. Like, I look at my team and think,
who am I going to buy him, Thibaut? That's the other thing. Like, you could sell him, but who are you going to replace him with? Jimenez?
I don't really want Jimenez because I don't think he's the same player, if I'm being totally honest with you. Like, he seems to be operating more as a kind of a support role. I think he's not what he was. Like, so I don't know.
He doesn't seem to have had that many chances, does he?
It was
from what I've seen of
target,
the highlights.
So he had 12 shots, but only one of them was on target.
Oh, really? That's not very good, is it?
The rest, yeah, it does not look great. Out of interest, there was. I just want to say hi to Gary Swan at FPL Chess. He had sent a question as well. He just said hi. All this time, I didn't realize Gary Swan was FPL Chess. I thought it was two different people based on YouTube live stream and Twitter questions, but I just thought I'd say hi to him. And so Anthony, your cousin, is saying Bamford Friday night hat-trick it is then.
Oh, 100%.
I've got him in Sky. Yeah.
I think I will get him. I think I will get him if he's playing Newcastle.
Right.
I mean,
Newcastle,
why not?
They've got this boy Woodman in nets, and I don't think I've seen a worse keeper because he should have kept out those two goals from Ronaldo. He basically just palmed it out to Ronaldo at the weekend.
Maybe so, get money on the line.
It's not impossible. Like.
Mr. Ali, I just want to bring this
looked
up.
Looked right Ali. In the first half. But.
So, Mr. Ali, I think the first question is a troll because he says, where's Lacazette? -4 for Oba. So, I'm glad he's thinking about Arsenal players, so I won't be rude to him about that, but I don't know. Like, Ober is a person who is, I think in 10 years, this is the first time he's under 10 million in any fantasy game. So in his price drop recently, they dropped it to like 9.9, 9.8, wherever he is. He's never been this cheap in fantasy football. In 10 years, he's scored less than 20 goals once. That was last year. People were so quick to write him off. I remember Kane for like 2 years was struggling to get 10 goals in the Prem after he kept getting rushed back from perennial ankle injuries. No one said that he was done. Maybe if Oba can find his form, he is a great pick. Why you have Lacazette, I don't know, because that's my other question. Is like Lacazette has not even been starting, so...
Hang on, let me back in a sec.
Yeah, you go for it. But Hibba, is that not... Like, I don't know, like, Lacazette... I don't know why he has Lacazette, but if you're in this situation, I would not be taking a -4 for Oba. If I'm taking a -4, it's to move to a Lukaku or Ronaldo, like...
This isn't a serious question.
But he has another question, which is he also has Calvert-Lewin. No, but he also has Calvert-Lewin, and he's asking to go to St. Maximin. So either he's just taking the piss both times, or he has a differential team. And I just kind of thought, you know what? There are possibilities that some of our viewers just play for fun and have the team they want, and they're not following that Twitter herd. Maybe these are real questions. I don't know. So I thought we'd ask them just in case.
I play for fun, but it's kind of more fun than one thing, I think.
It is more fun. I'm sorry, Ali.
Blimmin', a Bamiyang is a blimmin', he's an awkward price, isn't he?
He couldn't own a Bamiyang. He couldn't.
Magnus Carlsen brought him in, didn't he?
What happened to your cat's team? Did it captain Lacazette or did it not?
To my cat's team.
Yeah.
Not this way. It hasn't got Lacazette. Lacazette's actually always at the top of the stats, isn't he? But he never actually plays.
That's the problem. He's got great
His conversion rate, etc., is really good. I don't understand what he's doing. I mean, he never played. Why doesn't he move to somewhere where he can play?
I think no one will pay. Basically, Arsenal paid a lot of players a lot. Oh,
is that what it is?
And no one will pay them. Yeah, they're all doing an Ozil, all of them. Kolasinac, Mustafi, even the most average players, they're all doing the same. So we've got a couple of final questions for you, Nick, before we go. So Max Waters, he's asking what two keepers should he take? And he's given a list of keepers he likes. So he's asked for Gaeta, Raya, Ramsdale, Leno, Backman, Foster.
Well, Leno's not even playing, is he?
I know. Him and Ramsdale is a complicated question. I wouldn't go for either. I wouldn't go close.
How much is Ramsdale? Is he 4.5?
5, yeah.
Is he?
It is good, but I don't trust it yet. Like, I don't think he's
guaranteed. I think he'd be number one now, wouldn't he?
I don't know. So what I will say is Leno, different newspapers have said he's finishing his contract next year versus the following year. The reality is he signed a 5-year contract in 2018. So I'm pretty sure it's 2-year contract still left.
Ramsdale will be playing.
So Ramsdale's better for the team. I was there. I watched it live. He felt very assured. The fans connected with him. But one or two mistakes, I think Leno takes Ramsdale's spot. And that's what I don't like. So I feel like they are competing genuinely. And I thought Ramsdale would have the number one spot by December, January. Leno came back from international duty. So Neuer wasn't around. Testagon was out. I hear one of the reasons Ramsdale started was because, essentially, Leno had complications coming back from the international game. So that does worry me, just knowing that. And I love Ramsdale. He looked great. I watched him live. But
he takes up an Arsenal spot as well, doesn't he? You never know. You might want three Arsenal outfield at some stage.
People laugh now, but maybe you want Tierney or Burton.
You never know.
People are going to be crying when they can't get to that.
The defenders are good.
So I'm crying.
The goalkeeper.
So wait, if we could pick two goalkeepers, so I think we agree that it's probably not Leno. If you think
Foster doesn't play anyway, does he?
But I guess that would be their second keeper, right?
I think it'll be your man Raya when the fixtures get good.
Raya and Foster or Raya?
I think Brentford. Raya or maybe Gaeta, because I think both are kind of conceding a lot of shots from outside the box. From what I see, and they're like low XG shots. You make a lot of saves off that kind of shit. So I think those two potentially appeal to me, Gaeta and Raya. And when you're looking at Palace, they're looking better defensively than what they were. And like these signings, they look good. They look more solid. I think when the fixtures get good for 4.5, it could be all right.
Backman's been disappointing, hasn't he? I mean, I've got him in a lot of my fan teams and I'm trying to get rid of him because he's hopeless. Just not impressed at all.
I think he's been very disappointing. You're right.
Mm.
On that note, Nick, so I don't know if you've got any kind of like deep burning thoughts you want to get out for game week 5 or just in general about what we discussed about your top 1K finishes of four of them, but I feel like we've kept you for so long, 2 hours, 8 minutes. We still want to interrogate you backstage too and tell you some of the secrets. So I think we've got through all the questions good. On the live
as
chat.
Long as they're not, as long as they're not recorded, I don't want them coming back to haunt me.
Exactly. No. That's why I'm saying. So unless you've got any deep burning desires to chat, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the music stomp. I'm going to get us out of here. I might actually play Bakar's dance just one last time because I uploaded this when he came on the show. So I think I'm just going to play Bakar's dance as our stomp out of the show. But Nick, stay on. I'm going to just close this off.
Okay, though.
Thank you for anyone who's been here tonight. We've enjoyed having you along. And do hit that like and subscribe. If you're on podcast, do leave a review if you're on iTunes or an Apple device. But otherwise, thank you all for joining. Yeah. We will talk to you soon. And Nick, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, check out my stream, people. You could get in my click on my Twitter and there's a link in there. And,
so we'll send
I'll be doing a few streams this week, I think, regarding whether I'm wildcarding or not, etc., and what to do with Calvert-Lewin and Antonio. And we'll see what happens, basically. And until then, peeps, I'll talk to you all later.
And it's at Nick Trigger Lips if you don't already follow on Twitter. And we'll be sending a link to Nick's Twitter and YouTube for any of the podcast listeners. Just check the description of the podcast or YouTube channel. In the meantime, I'm going to show Bakar's dance because I've already embarrassed myself. So I know my brother Bakar is in here, but I'm going to do a little dance with him for the end of the night with my few beers. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it.